Blog Talk Radio.
Ilanga lishonile, Papa namazibuye, zinkomo zobaba.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Greetings, greetings, greetings tonight. Please call into Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced tonight at 516-418-5996. I do not think they are charging anymore for us to call in, because after all, I'm in here and I'm not being charged. Okay, tonight's episode, ladies and gentlemen, and we're joined by the one and only Che Nkrumah, you know what I'm saying, out of the Mile High Income City. Okay,
yes, sir.
And what we're, yes, sir. And tonight what we're discussing, ladies and gentlemen, is hypocrisy. Yes, hypocrisy. Because they letting all these goddamn migrants coming in here with no paperwork. Three or four of these bastards had beat the shit out of two NYPD officers. They were arrested, and then they were let out on their own recognizance. Their own recognizance. And then, you know, as one had came out of the station, and he would give the fingers to the press. And then these no good motherfuckers, they get out there and they get on a bus heading to California. Well, California is underwater, ladies and gentlemen. I am coming to you from none other than Sin City, Nevada. You know what I'm saying? The site of Super Bowl 57. And there's no fucking way in hell I'm paying $1,100 for a Super Bowl ticket. So I will sit here, I would watch it, you know, from the comfort of our home. Okay, great news. The dump, as in human shit. Okay, guess what? He will be held liable. He gets no immunity. And Judge Chuckin, from what I understand, looking at the cartoon Nazi network that you might hear in the background, have saying that this bastard has got to take his chance in court like the fucking rest of us. Hopefully they'll go on and convict this psychopathic sick son of a bitch and put him where he belongs. Now, there are those who say that this is what Trump is doing, isn't an attack on democracy. Well, you see, black family, the way how they treated us here, you know what I'm saying, just brings the hypocrisy face-to-face out in the open, okay? So we did put the word out there, for, you know, for some more of our well-wishers to give us a call, and of course, Sheikh Imam Akbar, calling off your smartphones, dumb phones, ignorant phones, you know, two wires and a dial pad or whatever by any means necessary. And we are extremely eager to hear the comments tonight. Okay, now we understand that there are those who hate us simply because we're black. And excuse the scenario, ladies, and I'm just using this here, you know, to prove a point. If we're up here referring to our woman as a bitch, which is a female dog, then we're okay. But when we refer to our woman, of which she rightfully is the motherhood of humanity and what have you, and built astonishingly, okay, then we are called bigots. You know, the hypocrisy is real. And then also, too, you know, our opening tonight was African Sunset by the one and only Ms. Miriam Makeba, commonly referred to as Mama Africa, and may she rest in power. Okay, now, mud flights in California. Great news, great news, great news. They taking down a few of those mansions out there in Beverly Hills, California. Okay, they can afford the loss. They got insurance on it and what have you. Okay, and so the hurricane is wreaking havoc on the state of California. Okay, for years and centuries of disrespecting black women out there, I see, you know, the ancestresses are issuing out justice, okay, which is a great and wonderful thing. So, ladies and gentlemen, please call in at 516-418-5996. And we're also, too, we are on StreamYard up on Facebook. I guess we're intact. And feel free to comment as well, too. Now, I came across an article right here that stated that black people need 320 years to achieve equality in living standards with white folk, okay? So this is no surprise. It's because it's systemically designed to keep us down. They went through extra measures, you know, to shatter the black family unit and what have you. This is why we really appreciated Muhammad Ali of refusing induction in 1967 on his religious beliefs, and the U.S. Supreme Court in 1971 did overturn his conviction. Okay, now also too, for all of those who think that we are all the same, please call in. It's because one of our contributors here, and I guess Brother Che, you could hit me in the chat room or unmute your mic. The one and only Sarge has been issued orders to report this evening on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. He was on another platform and what have you. And therefore, Sarge, if you don't show up, we are charging you with the desertion and dereliction of your duties. Is because we love to have Sarge to debate with Sarge, and Sarge is a very, very well-read man. Yeah, Brother Che, yeah, take over the show for a minute, man, because I got to go pull up some notes, man, of something that I want to
Okay, Shabaka, I need to turn the stream yard because it's causing an echo.
Okay, you need me to do what on the stream yard?
I need you to log out of the studio on the stream yard.
Okay, so you want me to log out of the StreamYard studio, correct?
Yeah, I need you to leave the studio on there. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, shut off the Sarge. Sarge off the
Okay, Twin Pyramid. Okay, I'm going to mute my mic, Brother Che. Let me know if that helps. I'm muting the mic now. Okay, how does that sound there, Brother Che?
Much better.
Okay, okay, yeah, so we don't have the feedback. Hey, Twin, you know, give us a call, man, you know, give us a call, man, at 516-418-5996. And also, too, if Jay Militant is out there, please call in, too, as well, too, Jay. Just want to check in on you guys, man, of how bad that rain is doing. Okay, and so... And so, therefore, ladies and gentlemen, you know, as I pull up some stories right here, okay, let's see here. We want to pull up this story right here. Okay, and just bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and here's some great news. The mayor of Las Vegas does not want to have anything to do with the Oakland Athletics coming to Sin City. Okay. Yeah, so therefore the mayor of Las Vegas does not want the Oakland Athletics in Sin City. And a very good friend of mine and family member, you know, who is in Oakland, you know, he had called me up and says, man, why the hell are you taking everything out of Oakland? You got the Raiders, now you guys want the A's, you know what I mean? And then the city of Oakland is blighted and the crime rate is high there, so they are systemically pulling business away from there. And so, oh, Gruesome Newsome, with your ass, what you need to do is sign in an executive order in the state of California to tell Silicon Game Valley to start dumping revenue off into the city of Oakland. And also to Brother Che, shout out there to Ms. Lisa Cabrera of the excellent post that she did, where the state of California does not want to give no cash payment. So that's old Gruesome Newsome. You know, so Gruesome Newsome, go get drunk out there off your Boone's Farm up there in Napa Valley that your family owns and what have you. Okay, folks. All righty. Okay. We're looking at some propaganda here off the internet. Black history, you probably won't be taught in states that ban critical race theory. Okay. So we're waiting for it to show up. And in this article here states, since the unprecedented anti-racism and anti-police brutality demonstrations in 2020, far-right politicians have responded by proposing bills and enacting laws that limit conversations and teaching on race in public schools. Black family, start homeschooling your children.
Right.
The strategic deterioration of the term critical race theory by political pundits like Christopher Rufo has had a triple effect on how race and history are discussed throughout the country. As of January 24, 18 states have bans against teaching critical race theory, why 9 states currently have bills or school policies prohibiting CRT teaching going through in the legislative process. Boy, these are some no-good dirty sons of bitches, aren't they? The semantic shift, and what semantics is the science of language, around the legal framework has caused critical race theory to become a negative umbrella term, in some cases for most topics that involve race. Wow. So they really don't want you to be taught of the evilness of these Eurocentric individuals. We have a caller.
Is that you, Sarge?
Okay.
What's your name and where you calling from? Is this you, Sarge? Or is this a solution?
Okay, your mic is unmuted. Okay, please announce yourself.
There's still unknown callers. What are your names and where are you calling from?
Okay, so we have 2 unknown callers. Okay, your mics are open. We would love to hear what you have to say.
Are y'all just listening or what? They might just be listening.
Okay. So
solution.
Going twice. Going 3 times. Okay, so we're unmuting your mic and just simply press 1. Yeah, and just press 1, you know, we'll be happy to unmute your mic. Okay, so going back to what they're saying right here. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, it's Black History Month. So a definite shout out there to all of our people that perished on the...
But Black History is 365, and this year is 366 days a year.
Yes, sir. Okay, so as I'm continuing with this article here, okay, and then, ladies and gentlemen, if we have a good call-in record tonight, we will be going into overtime, so please don't hang up, okay? All we ask is if we're going to disagree, let's disagree agreeably, okay? And no reason for a bunch of name calling, but you all can call Shabaka whatever you want, you know what I'm saying, because I love the hatred.
Sarge is in the chat.
Okay, and we appreciate Sarge. And then Sarge, you know, you just
not in the chat. There's nobody in the chat right now.
Okay, all right, and Sarge is kind of like our Joe Frazier going up against Ali, you know what I mean, and Sarge keeps you sharp on your toes. Okay, so for Black History Month, ladies and gentlemen, in particular, this creates a new set of challenges. Historical events like the Civil Rights Movement may be taught, but in places where these bans exist, those lessons will likely lack much-needed context. Yes, sir.
Go ahead,
ask you where my white tethered Rippy boy is. Where's Joe Gibson?
Yeah, where's the tether anchor baby?
I would love to whip him.
Joe was invited. You know what I'm saying? And what have you, Sarge was invited. But however, ladies and gentlemen, we do understand that there are a lot of you who cannot take the heat you know, of these conversations. Okay, but however it is, please put hate mail in our chat room. We will read it. In honor of Black History Month, here's the context around five topics or events that you likely won't be taught in anti-critical race theory states. Okay, the Clotilda Ship and African Town Community.
We've already broken
this
down. Critical race theory is a law course that you have to take in college.
Facts.
It's not taught in
facts.
So what the hell are these caucasoids talking about?
Okay, well, what that is, Brother Che, is commonly referred to as the Queen Mother had stated, pre-packaged bullshit is what it is. Okay, so now I want to finish reading this article here. It's just one paragraph, folks. Okay. Over 50 years after the Atlantic slave trade was outlawed in 1808, slaveholder Timothy Mayer placed a bet that he could successfully transfer West Africans to the Alabama Gulf Coast.
Okay.
Alabama? Well, my ancestor slaved right there. And he did. The ship arrived in Alabama in 1860 before Mayer ordered it sunk to destroy evidence of his crime. Now, you see here, people, the ship arrived in Alabama in 1860, but Mayer ordered it sunk to destroy the evidence of his crime. When emancipation reached them after the end of the Civil War, 32 survivors of the 110 Africans captured on the Clotilda ship by Captain William Foster went on to establish Africa Town after the attempts to return home to Africa failed due to lack of resources. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they didn't have airplanes back then and what have you. All the ships were being sailed and things of that nature right there. Despite their plight, the group built their own community, opening churches, the Mobile County Training School, and businesses on the outskirts of Mobile, Alabama. Now, this is where Sister Akshita is from, and we would love to have her on here to give us some input on this. After thriving at first, Africa Town's existence was in jeopardy at the start of the 20th century. Industry expanded on the Alabama Gulf Coast, yet Africa Town still had no access to the amenities predominantly white areas enjoyed, electricity, plumbing, and even clean water. These unsuitable living conditions became a public safety threat, and community members died from diseases like malaria and pneumonia. Only after the health of black residents posed a threat to white Mobile residents did the city extend more modern amenities to black neighborhoods. Okay, now keep in mind is that Alabama is also where they did the Tuskegee experiment, so keep that in mind. Environmental racism still impacts the Africa Town community as paper and petrochemical plants pollute the air, land, and water. And then look at the water crisis up there in Flint, Michigan, you know what I'm saying? And there was a movie called Three the Hard Way in the early 1970s that dealt with them trying to kill black people through the water. Okay. And then, let's see here. And then, now here's something. Then you had the mistreatment of black Union soldiers during the Civil War and post-Civil War. Despite what Republican presidential candidate says, the United States Civil War was largely about the right to individuals to own slaves. Fact. While that is a fact you would likely learn in elementary school, you may not hear about the treatment of black Union soldiers during and after the Civil War. Now, keep in mind with the Confederacy, as they just simply had a lot of black soldiers down there, is because, you know, Massa told them what to do, and they he came up there, you know, Yasa Boss and what have you, and we're not mocking that horrible situation, none whatsoever. Sometimes you got to laugh to keep from crying. Okay, when the war began in 1861, black men couldn't enlist due to a 1792 federal law. As death tolls continued to climb and more slaves escaped Confederate states, thanks to Sister Harriet Tubman, slavery was officially abolished for all territories in 1863. The Second Confiscation and Militia Act were then passed, allowing black men to enlist. Black enlistment skyrocketed while white enlistment decreased.
What?
See that? Let's read that again. Black enlistment skyrocketed while white enlistment decreased. So therefore, once again, okay, we're just going to simply go out here and slaves, they didn't know any better. They only knew what master taught them. You see what I'm saying? Had them go out there and get killed. Okay, all righty. Now, despite their service, black soldiers as well as black men and women who served in non-combat roles still faced discrimination during the war. Segregated units and wage disparities plagued black troops as they were paid just over half of what white troops made monthly. And black soldiers were granted retroactive equal pay in 1864. Black Union soldiers captured by the Confederacy also face more severe treatment as POWs in comparison with their white counterparts. Black veterans continue.
If you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to call in. The call-in number is 516-418-5996. And press 1 and you'll be live on the air.
Okay. Now, black veterans continuously face discrimination as a new era of lynchings and harassment ensued post Civil War during the
Get out of my post.
Okay. Okay. No. Somebody wants to talk, let them talk. It's because, like I said, you know, I got something for them tonight. Okay. Now, this is during a Reconstruction era. Okay. Well, you know, we were using
336-48644. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
All right, you know, this is Joe Gibson, so I'm just listening here, you know, waiting for Chewbacca to finish
greetings,
his up.
Joe. Yeah, what I'm reading right here, Joe, is how down in your region of the United States, of how my people, man, were vehemently treated real bad, you know, through lynchings and harassment, you know, post-Civil War during the Reconstruction era. Though they left the battlefields, the soldiers returned home to angry white mobs being disarmed and disbanded in some of the extreme circumstances and publicly lynched. Now, Joe Gibson, what do you have to say about that there? So you're down there in North Carolina?
Well, Sarge, I wasn't surely alive during that time, so I can't really, you know, give you a firsthand testimony.
Wow.
I don't think that's happening today. I'm pretty sure it's not happening today. You know?
Mad Dr. D's daughter, April, is in the stream yard. She says hi.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, good.
So you're saying that angry mobs of whites are stringing up and hanging, lynching black families today? I mean, today?
Joe. Okay. Please listen to me, Joe. Okay, this was happening then. And then as you chorus, no, I don't know if you saw the special they did on CNN last night about Medgar Evers, okay, where they shot and killed him in his driveway in front of his wife and his baby. Okay, but you see, Joe, the dump, as in human shit, okay, he is hyping all this stuff up right here. You see what I'm saying? You know, Trump is dangerous. And so then what is happening to Joe, and I want to know what your thoughts are on this, Joe Gibson, okay, about critical race theory and also to where they're trying to kill funding for historical black colleges and universities. Now, what's your point on that there, Joe?
Critical race theory, I believe it's obviously a false doctrine, a dangerous doctrine to be teaching kids today out there. It should not be taught in schools at all. It should be left up to the homes. The homes of the parents need to teach their children.
Joe Gibson.
Okay, now Joe.
Race theory.
Okay, go ahead, Brother Che. Then I got a question for him. Yeah, go ahead.
That is taught in law school.
Okay, in law school? Why?
In K through 12. So y'all need to start with the law theory that this is being taught in K through 12. It's not being taught in K through 12. It is a college level course, and you have to take it when you go to law school.
So it's a voluntary school, a voluntary type of thing. It's not a mandatory part of the curriculum, correct? Is that what you're saying?
You're going to law school, correct. Sister April, thank you.
Okay, we got a hand up right here, too. Too, and might as well unmute this. It's from an unknown number, you know, which is fine. We appreciate Joe, you know, putting his number up there. I'm not mad at him. Okay, the Alaskan joined the conversation, and Joseph Gibson joined the conversation in the chat room. Okay, folks, please comment in the chat room, and if it's hate mail, we'd be more than happy to read it. However, if it's a civil conversation, we'll be more than happy to read it. Okay, Brother Che, take over for a second, because I'm about to pull up some information. Okay, please take over. Okay, please go ahead and continue, Joe, and thank you for calling
in. Yes, and it's a college-level course. So, yeah, it's not being taught. It's 12.
Okay, I was unaware of that. I thought it was being introduced to the public schools in the grades 1 through 12. I thought that's what all the protests were about.
Chewbacca, you opened up my line. I'm ready. I got the gloves laced up. I'm ready to rock. I'm ready to roll.
You're late, Sarge.
You were
late to duty.
Not actually. I was rather preoccupied, but I am
late.
No longer. And I always say better late than never.
You know, that's no excuses for being late to work.
All right, now look now. If you're going to insist that we rigorously adhere to definitions, let's make sure we do that. Now, if you want to rigorously adhere to the proper meaning of critical race theory as outlined by people like Kimberly Crenshaw and Richard Delgado and Dr. Derek Bell, two books of which I have right in front of me. I got them right in my hands.
Okay, Sarge.
And I got my book in front of me, too, Sarge. Let's go, Sarge.
I got Critical Race Theory, An Introduction by Richard Delgado, and I got Faces at the Bottom of the Well by Derek Bell. So we're going to talk critical race theory. Let's stick to the strict definitions of it. You insisted on it, and so do I.
That wasn't the question, though, Sarge. The question was, is it taught in K through 12?
No.
And no, it is not.
And I would like to respond to that.
Okay, go ahead.
That's exactly what I'm trying to respond to.
Okay.
And you are correct, sir, in your definition. By the way, I don't have any problem with any of the historical recitation that Brother Chewbacca just went through. Okay, I find no fault with any of it, nor do I intend to. I'm glad when people are illuminated of the good and bad of the history of the United States. That's fine with me. But now, when you're talking about critical race theory, wait a minute now, when you're talking about critical race theory, okay, you are correct again you're correct, when you say it is a legal theory that is taught in college. But what you are being disingenuous about is that the elements, among the most crucial elements of critical race theory, are not being incorporated into the pedagogy of public schools. On that, you are being disingenuous and, dare I say it, a little bit dishonest.
Did you read the pedagogy?
Okay, Sarge.
I did.
I'm sorry.
Okay, now let me read. Okay, let me read this.
Did you disagree with anything I just said? And if you do, tell me why.
Okay, Sarge, I'm about to read something to you right now, Sarge, if I may.
Pedagogy of the oppressed,
Charge. Okay, now let me read this right here, folks. Okay, let me read this right here. Okay, Charge.
So you can hear it better. I don't know. We're having technical difficulties on the StreamYard end. She's saying it's real choppy and hard to hear. StreamYard in.
Okay, that's okay, folks. That's due to the weather conditions happening there in California, because you know all this stuff is based in California. Okay, April. Okay, please call in, April. The number is 516-418-5996. Now I'm gonna read this here, Sarge. Now, this is the ebony pictorial history of Black America, African past through the Civil War, Sarge, by the one and only Mr. Lerone Bennett, Jr. Okay, here we go. Apologists for the slave trade and European penetration of Africa are apt to point out to the many blessings, quote-unquote, which white civilization bestowed on the, quote-unquote, dark continent. The truth, which has gained increasing acceptance since the emergence of modern independent African states, stands in stark contradiction to the Peace Corps' image, which the colonial powers have tried to project. As unflattering as these truths may be to their collective egos, it is a fact that Europeans did not arrive in Africa as builders and healers, but quite to the contrary, as degraders, destroyers of human lives, and cultural systems that were in many instances superior to their own. Yes, sir.
I think Sister April is in the queue.
Okay, April, just press one. Okay, April, just press one. And there she is right there. Okay, and April, your mic is unmuted, ma'am, and please feel free to join in at any time. Okay, now what do you have to say about that there, Sarge?
Before I respond to that, I'd just like to know, so you don't want to deal with the issue that was raised about critical race theory. You want to change the subject. You want to change the subject to an interpretation of history with regard as to whether or not Western civilization brought anything of useful benefit to the African. So you want to change the subject. Am I to understand that?
Okay, no, Sarge. Go with your first premise, and then we'll go to this premise right here, sir.
Because you know that's what you just did. My response a moment ago was that I think you are being disingenuous when you do not acknowledge that elements of critical race theory, and let me summarize critical race theory as a legal theory taught in public schools. And it's a summary, but I think it's fairly accurate because I've studied the issue fairly thoroughly. Critical race theory holds...
Well, Sarge, I only studied being black in America, Sarge, for over 60 years.
You won't even let me finish my premise. See how you're interrupting me right in the middle of it?
Okay, go ahead, Sarge.
You know I get to the point,
sure,
and I express things very succinctly. You know I do that. I don't ramble. All right, let me say it again. Critical race theory has been taught in public schools, as an introductory course. It's not taught in public. Let me take that back. Critical race theory as being taught in universities and colleges.
What's wrong with that?
To apply the law to black people, given the history of racism and discrimination and slavery in the United States, if you actually apply it objectively without regard for race, that is in effect a manifestation of white supremacy and discrimination. To objectively apply the law in light of the history of racism, slavery, and discrimination in Jim Crow. So let's be clear about what critical race theory says. It says there has to be a differential application of the law with regard to black people owing to the peculiar circumstances of their presence in the United States.
I'm confused on why there's yelling.
I know I'm about to get interrupted. I want to make sure people hear me before I get interrupted. That's why.
Okay, Sarge, we hear you, Sarge. We ain't got nothing for you, Sarge.
I'll probably do it again because I know I'm going to get interrupted halfway through my comment.
Hold on, Sarge. Hold on. Okay, now there's a young lady there in the background who has something to say. Is that you, April?
Yes, that's me.
Okay, hey. Greetings to you, April. Okay, and April is the firstborn of Mad Dr. D, and our condolences and our hearts go out to you, April, you know, on your loss. But also, too, April has recently have came back from Azania, and April, please elaborate, ma'am.
I'm just confused on why you think there's any kind of discord on teaching race CRT. Like, it's important for everybody to understand what Black Americans have gone through, what we have experienced through the hands of white Americans, and it's important to for everybody to understand that our plight should not be put on the back burner to make the white population feel better.
That's right.
It's not being taught in K through 12. It's being taught in college level, where most adults at that age have the mental fortitude to understand what was right and what's wrong. It's bad enough when you're taught in elementary that Black folks love being slaves. Black folks were just so happy to be beaten.
That's
be
not what you're taught.
And
Hold on, Joe. Let her finish. It absolutely is
being taught in schools that Black folks enjoyed being slaves to white people. And to have a course, let me finish, to have a course in college to make them have a better understanding that slavery was wrong, redlining was wrong, and not all white folks are fucking villains, but this is what happened to Black Americans. It's not a bad thing. Why are you so against it? I don't understand.
I'd be happy to explain as to why I'm against it.
I'll be happy to explain that. That was directed at Joe Gibson, Sarge. Let Joe respond.
Okay, then we're going to go to Sarge, and then we back to April. And then also, too, before we continue, there's some comments here in the chat room. Okay, from Chef Rob. How many lies have Sarge told or gave to excuse the colonizer? Middle finger salute to Sarge. Okay, Chef Rob. CRT only bothers white folk and bootlicking, ass-cracking house Negroes like Tim Scott. Lie,
I agree.
F you.
I
to,
agree.
To a ramble.
Notice he did not make a single argument. All he did was engage in invective because he doesn't have an argument. I will beat his behind if he's got the guts to call into the show and face me on an issue. But he won't do it. He'll just call names, just engage in ad hominem attacks with no substance. He doesn't have any substance.
Whoa.
Live it. Okay, Chef Rob.
Hey, let him bring his ass on here and face me man to man.
Okay, Chef Rob says he's in the queue. Okay, Chef Rob is in the queue, and we're going to get these Chef Rob because I'm going
to
leave your comments, Chef Rob. And he's going heavily upside Sergeant's dumps, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Bring his ass on this show. He just made a bunch of ad hominem attacks with no substance. Let him get his ass on the show and deal with me like a man.
Okay, Chef Rob, I guess you heard him. Please press one, Chef Rob. We will be happy to have you. Also, too, April is the firstborn of our original producer, the one and only Mad Dr. D, so she's got juice right here. So April is not going to be stepped on. Okay, do you understand that, April?
Are you on the air?
I understand it, but violence will not be invoked to get your point across. Like, you don't have to threaten anybody. You can speak eloquently.
Right.
You can speak intelligently to get your point across. The violence and the anger is not necessary. You can speak with
passion. I meant figuratively, madam, not literally.
You can speak with love.
Figuratively.
You can speak. It doesn't matter. You can speak with your passion, but you don't have to invoke any kind of verbal violence.
He has to call me names, though, but I don't have to respond passionately, right?
Okay. Okay,
Sarge.
Whatever.
Okay, Sarge. Please let April finish, okay? Because April has juice here, okay? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, she's giving me a lecture
here
on how I should behave when I'm insulted.
Because
that's what she just did.
You're invoking
she told me what is appropriate for me to do when
violence.
I am insulted. So in other
you're
words, I don't get
necessary.
To decide what level of response I get to make, figuratively.
You're
Chef Rob is on the air. Go ahead.
Not necessary. You can speak with
your opinion.
Oh, please,
man. Neither
opinion.
Are the insults.
Barry,
the insults aren't necessary
opinion.
Either.
Okay, Sarge, please, let her finish.
You don't have to invoke violence. You don't.
Again, ma'am, it was figurative, not
we
literal.
We all have our opinions. We all have our opinions, but we do not
yes,
have to invoke violence.
And, yeah, and I think courtesy is
you're
incumbent
right.
upon both sides of the
but
argument.
But you don't have to
that's
invoke
just my opinion.
Violence.
Right.
Again,
sorry,
figurative, madam, not
it's
literal.
Not
figuratively.
Not
you know,
it's
like
not.
We're
going to
strike
not.
Out. It doesn't
it's
mean
not.
You
okay,
actually
hold on, Sarge.
It's
hold
not.
On, Sarge.
Sir,
okay. Go ahead, April, and we'll bring Sarge back on to respond. Okay,
uncle,
go ahead, April.
You are invoking violence, whether you choose to do so or not. You can speak with every bit of passion you have in your body on your opinion. And I'm okay with that. Do not invoke violence in any of your verbiage, because I will not do that to you, and nobody should do it to you. So stop invoking violence and just speak your passion. Speak your passion. That's it.
Okay. We're getting some feedback right here, okay. All right, so I'm going to unmute my Sarge's mic. Okay, Sarge, please respond to the daughter of our original producer.
I have no significant problem with the admonishment to be more tempered. That's not my problem that she told me I should be. My problem is her entirely one-sided admonishment of me. Again, it is incumbent upon all sides in a discussion to be courteous
mm-hmm.
and civil, not just one.
Okay. Okay, Sarge. Now,
I agree.
Well, okay, we agree with you, Sarge. But however, though, Sarge, I mean, Sarge is Sarge. Okay, Sarge has been through it. Okay, and what have you? Okay, we didn't hear too much from Joe Gibson. Okay, Chef Rob, your mic is open, sir, and
I'm just gonna keep
and it. Please comment. Okay,
no,
Chef Rob. Okay. Okay, Chef Rob. Okay, thank you, sir, and definitely appreciate you for calling in. And everybody, please put the word out there on Facebook and what have you, because they shadow banning us here and whatnot on the StreamYard.
I need you to unmute your
okay,
mic on the StreamYard.
Okay. All righty. Okay. Okay, so what you're saying is
I
they cannot unmute
I don't think we had the time to address one question.
Joe Gibson. Okay, now Joe Gibson. Okay, now Joe Gibson. Okay, April, are you still there, ma'am?
I'm still here.
Okay, we got Joe Gibson right here, April. Okay, he's one of our biggest credits, ma'am. And I know you have your father's temperament, you know, to rumble, young man, rumble, and float like a butterfly and sting like a bee, as to quote the words of Bondini Brown. Work with him, says. Come on, Joe Gibson. You're going up against April right here, and she's extremely intelligent and very, very well read.
That's
can
right.
hear
what,
you, Joe.
What are we? What am I? What am I answering here? What am I answering?
Okay, well, Joe. Okay, what are you answering is, Joe, you made the point that you said that black people should not worry about slavery and that we pretty much over the years, you and I have been going back and forth, that we're supposed to sit up here and be like Uncle Tim Scott, ask that Josh about, you the boss, I appreciate you, love you, ask Trump. Okay. So please state, you know, to April, you know, how you feel about it and what have you. And plus that too, Joe, please mention about how much you are against reparations and cash payments of the descendants of slaves.
Yes, that's correct. Why reparations? Why are you deserved reparations? I can't understand why you should be paid reparations. Why? What would be the reason?
There's a lot of chatter.
Yeah.
Okay,
like,
go ahead, April.
There's just one thing.
Hold on.
Okay.
There's a lot of chatter.
I
want to
know.
Okay,
no,
we got too much chatter. One at a time, please.
Hold on. I want to understand why you think that black Americans do not deserve reparations. Let's just stay on that topic. Get your opinion out so I can respond.
Okay, well, if you deserve reparations, or if we're going to pay reparations, then we need to pay reparations to all the suffering slaves throughout the history of this world.
What is that, black Americans?
I'm
going to
interject on that. Joe, you and I have had this conversation before, Joe. We don't give a damn, man, about them fuckboys and priests and what have you. We're talking about our people here, you know, on this continent, okay? We
don't care
about
money,
no Romans.
Don't ask
you don't
for other people's money,
about
then.
No damn fuckboys, man.
Don't ask for other people's money.
Hold on. Please, can I
come
down?
Can
I say something? What do you mean?
Yes, sir.
When black folks worked in this country, it was free labor.
That
was free labor, Joe. Free labor.
You never conducted any free labor. You performed free labor.
So you can't go over the conditions that I had to go ahead and endure. It started with my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, and so forth. So how many of them people go ahead and treat
you
like crap?
Is your father still here today?
And days, lean and sheen, all upside his dome. Work with him, Junior.
Is your father still here today? Or is your grandfather still here today?
Have to do with anything,
because then they would deserve the reparations. Then they would deserve the reparations, not you.
Joe.
No.
You owe money. Let's take this back. That's what you do.
I don't
owe
nobody anything.
Hold on.
Joe.
Hold on.
Let April speak.
Hold on. New York just passed a bill to give descendants of the Holocaust, which we had nothing to do with, $183
Ouch.
Million. Dollars.
That ain't ping, ping, ping. Damn.
Hold on.
Why would him, Junior?
Hold on. Stop it. That ain't got nothing to do with America. My daddy, my grandma, her daddy went through all that shit.
Yep.
The Jews, the descendants of Jews that had nothing to do with the Holocaust is getting money from shit they had nothing to fucking do with. They didn't participate in it. They didn't suffer from it. None of that shit. So you explain to me how the United States is paying Jewish Americans money. We had nothing to do with their suffering, but they can't
this
pay
is
black Americans
round.
Nothing. Black Americans.
This is a second round.
Why are you assuming that I'm agreeing with that? Why are you assuming that I agree with that?
Let her talk,
in the 60s, in the fucking 60s, dude. My daddy was born in 19 motherfucking 50 motherfucking 9. You feel
right.
me?
Work with
they
Americans.
Owe us. They owe us.
Damn right.
We built this shit.
We don't agree with that either.
It's the second time. It's the second time.
To think that they
the
don't owe
time
us.
They
owe us. They are literally living on the back of our fucking culture today.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Ouch.
We don't agree with that.
Mad Dr. D's is raising fire.
A haircut. They live off us, our music. They live off us, our inventions. They live off us. The cell phone that you use right now is because of niggas, not because of white folks. Motherfucker, they owe us. Stop playing with my soul.
Damn right.
And this is the second time. The second time the Jews have gotten reparations. Second time America has paid them money.
The second time. Nigga Asians got reparations. What the fuck?
Ouch.
That's right.
Bam, bam. The Asians came here voluntarily. Jews came here voluntarily. The Irish came here voluntarily.
Yep.
The fucking Italians came here voluntarily. We didn't volunteer none of this shit. They owe us.
Ouch.
And you
the daughter of Mad Dr.
D. Dumb motherfucker if you think they don't.
Right. Joe Gibbs is a cheddar anchor baby, though. He came here, his family came here from Italy to eat off the backs of foundational black Americans of American title slavery.
He's an anchor baby.
Nigga, you ain't getting nothing.
We're going to get a check from Mickey Joe.
They just crashed in our fucking neighborhood. What you mean you didn't know who was? The fuck?
Right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah, Joe, you're looking kind
of
bad,
of
Joe. Joe,
stop playing with me.
Yeah, Joe,
playing
you
anything. You're not getting
Joe.
Paid anything for free. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. Just because your father or your grandfather did doesn't mean you deserve it.
Hold on, Joe Gibson. Whoa, Joe
we
Gibson, my ass, that's the slave on
we
them goddamn plantations of Alabama,
it.
Sir,
yeah.
For nothing.
So,
and then, Joe, not
right.
to mention the shit that happened, man, you know, during the Jim Crow era.
Just like that.
You did not endure slavery. You were too young to endure slavery.
My
Joe,
dad did. My dad
Joe,
did.
What
are you talking about? My daddy did.
Yeah,
work with him,
April.
What are you talking about?
Spank his ass.
Your father's
and shady and lean and sheen. Ping, ping, bam, bam. Float like a butterfly. Sting like a bee. Rumble, young woman, rumble.
We had actual fucking freedom in this fucking fucked up ass country. What you mean to that?
Well, I don't understand. You hate America so much. If you hate America so much, nobody's preventing you from leaving. Why do you hate America so much?
Cut the goddamn check. Cut the goddamn check. $220 trillion in fucking tangible.
Are you white? Are you white?
Yeah, he's white, April.
Then take your ass back to Europe. You don't belong here.
I don't think so.
Go back to France.
Right, but Joe,
go back to France.
Like, man, see, this is how disagreements start. This is how wars start. Because I'm not going anywhere.
Everybody stop.
Yeah,
what did the Jews earn in America? What did they earn?
Okay, let me unmute him.
Can you hear me, Joe? Can you continue,
hear me
Joe?
Say I agree with that? Did you ever hear me say I agree with them getting reparations?
It doesn't matter. What did they earn?
It does matter.
$30 billion a year in aid.
What did they earn in America?
They earned
years that they put into this bitch that
Joe.
My ancestors did not. What are you?
They should not be paid reparations or anything. Absolutely correct. They should not be paid.
Okay Joe, that's hatred.
Well, you take your ass to Washington and make your point.
Right.
I will.
I love it.
At least on the minimum.
Yeah,
on the minimum, the Native Americans at least got some kind of fucking lands. We didn't get shit.
Exactly.
That's right. And land is a factor of production.
They might have been Jews are getting aid.
They get aid every year.
There's no blame or responsibility on the Northwest African kings and the kings that sold them.
We've been over that issue before, Joe. It's because the ones who did the selling in Africa, they were captured as slaves too. Look at the case at Amistad, Joe.
Oh, they are. There's still kings over there today. What are you talking about? They still rule over there today. What are you talking about?
Okay, everybody relax for a minute. Let April speak. And April, and thank you so very, very much, young lady, for coming on, April.
And what happened with the Africans and how they enslaved their people and chattel slavery with the fucking white Americans is the black folks. African slavery, you can get your freedom back. After four years, you paid a debt to the family that you owed. There's a difference between chattel slavery and indentured servitude.
That's right.
Africans Africans invoked indentured servitude. You own a debt to this family. You got 10 to 15, 7 years, whatever the fuck it is. You pay that shit off. You go back to your family. White folks in America invoked chattel fucking slavery. My mama, my great-grandma, my great-great-great-great-grandma, her fucking kids, his fucking kids, her kids,
was all stuck
into that slavery. We had no freedom. None of that shit. We didn't get that shit. Even when we were allowed to be free, free to do what? We couldn't go land.
You ain't got freedom
today. We couldn't
get a
job. We couldn't do none of that shit. What the fuck y'all owe us? And every time,
you don't got no freedom
today. Every fucking time, black Americans was like, we going to have our own fucking, our own hospitals, our own schools. We going to have all that shit to ourselves and leave you white folks alone. Y'all fuck that shit up. Every time.
Whoa.
We got whole cities under the lakes. Michigan was a black fucking city. Y'all took that shit over. Fuck you. You owe us.
To that point.
Exactly, April. Exactly.
Fuck you,
and by the way, April, I've been to Tulsa, Oklahoma, too. I did see the black people.
Your government owes us. Your government owes black Americans, period.
That's why, man,
fuck that shit.
This fool is running for office in North Carolina. He's running for House of Representative in North Carolina, and he didn't even know about the massacre of women in Delaware. Or Wilmington, North Carolina, in 18.
Yeah, Joe. Yeah. And then also, too, Joe, is that my blood was spilled there on the plantations of Alabama down there near Montgomery. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so April is motherfucking right. Yeah, you owe some goddamn reparations. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Exactly.
Right.
And then also, too, April. Okay, if I can interrupt you for 1 second, April, because you're making some very, very good points, April, and you are backing this dude up into the corner, and you blazing and dazing and leaning and sheening. Keep it up, young woman, rumble. Also, too, Joe, it's like this right here, okay, is that we built your nation, you bastards violated our women, okay, and then when a white woman goes up there and tells the slave, well, you better fuck me, otherwise I'm going to tell master that you raped me. So he was damned if he do, damned if he didn't. Look at the motion picture Mandingo. Remember that there, Sarge? Also, too, April, to prove your point even further, is that what had happened is that when the African nations went to war, they were simply incorporated the losers into their empire. You see, they had their human rights, they had their civil rights, okay, they were not brutalized, you see what I'm saying, and what have you. And then, just like what I read right here, Sarge, out of Lerone Bennett right there, Sarge, and you wait to respond to that. Now, Sarge, you say if it was not for the rape and slave trading pedophiles that did not violate your bloodline, you wouldn't exist, Sarge. Now, also too, Sarge, once again, like I told you, the hummingbird, mathematically, it can't fly. But however, though, it does, Sarge. So, you know, that kind of like takes credibility away from what you were saying. You know what I mean? And also, too, ladies and gentlemen, we just heard that the King of England, King Charles, he has cancer. And he can kiss my ass. I don't have no sympathy for him.
Bravo.
yeah. And then also, too, Joe Gibson, don't you know that homosexuality originated, man, with those fuckboys in Greece?
Okay, Shabaka, are you going to give me a chance to respond? You had me in a cold now for 12 minutes.
I'm sorry, Sarge. Come on, Sarge.
You can at least give me 2 minutes to make my thesis. You know me. I don't ramble. I get to the point. That's why a lot of people can't stand me, because I don't ramble. All right, let me explain.
Okay, Sarge, now tell us about the hummingbird.
Let's give Sarge the floor for
2 minutes.
12 minutes you'd have me on ice, okay?
Okay, Sarge.
I'll keep track. All right, look here. You're talking about the issue of reparations. This can be approached in one of two ways. One, you can convince people by whatever means to voluntarily give money, whether they be of high station low station, high economic station, or low economic station. You can listen to voluntary. I have no problem whatsoever with your endeavors if you can get them to voluntarily give you money. That's on you and them. It's their money, and it's your implications. Now, having said that, most of what I hear when you talk about reparations, they are presenting it as a legal theory in a lawsuit, meaning it has to go into a court. And when you go into court, you've got to make a legal appeal. You've got to have the basis upon which – see, you're going to say, let me say, now, come on now, man. I'm just getting started. All right. You have to have a basis upon which to say you are legally allowed damages. If you don't have it, you don't have standing to ask for damages. Now, let's look at slavery, and then we can go to Jim Crow and discrimination, which is a different kettle of fish. But let's deal with slavery first. All right?
Okay.
Enslaved black people, by definition, had no civil rights that could be violated. By definition.
Not only did they not have no goddamn civil rights, they didn't have no fucking
human
rights.
That's exactly right. So what is the basis to say they were deprived of their rights by being enslaved? There is no legal basis for
it.
Wait a minute. Can I finish? Actually, if you're going into court and you're going to do anything but bang on the table and do a lot of hair shirt pulling, you've got to have a legal basis to make a claim from a court. Slaves, no civil rights that could be violated. They were enslaved. You cannot enslave a citizen unless they've been convicted of a crime to due process of law. You can't.
Okay, now, Sarge, you just pulled
so
my
if you're
point
gonna,
there.
Wait a minute.
Now,
if you're
going
to.
Let him finish.
If you're going
let
to.
Let him finish.
Oh, God damn it. Are you going to let me finish or not?
Okay,
so if you're
going to
make a claim for reparations without a legal basis, you got to think of another angle. Now, they frequently use – now, they use the Jews. I'm utterly against any taxpayer money going to Jews for the Holocaust. I am completely and utterly opposed. The reason we gave Native Aboriginal tribes reservations and the reason we did all of that with them is because they were considered foreign nations with which we made treaties. Now, don't give me no jive about they broke them. Yeah, they broke some of them. But recently, most of them, they've been forced to honor them. They never made a treaty with slaves, black slaves from Africa. There were no treaties that were ratified by the United States Senate. If you're gonna make a case in court to get the taxpayers' money, you'd better believe you would have a legal basis. Now, there is a better case for discrimination and Jim Crow. One more thing, I'll be finished. I'll say it. You guys are determined not to let me get this out. All right, look. There is a much better case for Jim Crow and discrimination, but even then, you have to bring the cases as individual cases, particularized cases, not group cases, because there's no way to make that determination for every individual.
Have you ever considered auditioning to be an actor in Hollywood?
See,
you don't
interrupt me so much. It would take half the time for me to get that out.
Can I say something, please? May I, please?
Oh, go ahead, Chef.
Okay, so I, you know what? White folks owe us reparations, but I'm a go ahead. You got me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, come on, Chef.
Okay, so white folks owe us reparations. Now I'm gonna go ahead and disappoint a whole lot of people. The top five Indian tribes owned African slaves in this country. So fuck
that.
They owe us money.
Yep.
That part.
Yep, the five civilized tribes.
Because they tried to make slaves out of us, too.
And not only that, they also, the Indian tribes here, particularly the Choctaw, which I know a lot of people that think they are part of that group, they made a deal with the Confederate Army to go and hold down the slaves and keep them from joining the North. So like I said, fuck them Indians too.
Yep.
I just learned something right there, Chef Rob. Yeah, you know, I just learned something right there, man.
Look it up, brother.
I just fucking learned something.
Look it up.
Oh, hey, man, I don't got you, brother.
Cherokee Nation. That people say they're part of the Cherokee Nation. In 1842, there was a slave revolt. So who was the slaves fighting the Cherokee? It was black folk.
Yep.
So, you know, fuck
yes,
the
sir.
Shabaka, I need to talk to you on the StreamYard because I can't hear us on the StreamYard.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Okay, what about now, Brother Che? Okay, put me on mute. Please continue. Oh, man, this goddamn Bill Gates shit. Okay, we're still here?
Yeah, Shabaka, okay. I need you on the StreamYard, not the blog talk.
Okay, now Joseph Gibson wrote something in here, the Kingdom of Dahomey was a West African kingdom located in present-day Benin. There were major sources of slaves for the... Joe, we've been over this bullshit before, man, okay? It's because them goddamn Portuguese, as soon as they bought them, they went and kidnapped them too. Joe, come on, Joe. Come up with something better than that bullshit, man. I'm not even going to read that garbage. You know what I'm saying? That's bullshit. Is because when they got them down there to Gory Island that my little sister had pointed out years ago on a podcast, when they got them to Gory Island, they says, okay, we got enough room here for 100 of these slaves right here. Okay, well, we only got 75. Okay, and we only got 75 right here, so take that bastard right there and make up the other 25. That was the case of what Sin Q was about. You feel me on that there, Chef Rob? You see, so that blows Joe's premise out. Yeah, that blows him out the water. We can't hear you, Joe. Oh,
we're
working overtime tonight, and so is the doctor. But we got a whole lot of bad skulls
in
here.
Stop living in the past,
Chewbacca.
Stop living in the past.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I never did respond to anything I said. Hold on. Let's deal with everybody.
I did say.
He said stop living in the past.
You didn't respond to anything I said.
Oh, my God.
About slavery. And a legal case for it.
No, Sarge. The hummingbird, Sarge. My response
to
what you were
saying. No, it had nothing to do with hummingbird genetics.
Hummingbird.
I was talking about
Sarge.
Slavery, not hummingbird genetics.
Hey, brother, let me show you something. Joe said, stop living in the past. So here's the problem. No bigger group of people live in the past than Europeans. No
right.
bigger group.
Oh,
they
thank you, man. Oh, you're driving.
Oh,
boy.
Okay.
All right, well, look. Don't hold me responsible for other people's arguments. Just hold me responsible for mine. Okay?
Sarge. That's great. That's beautiful, Sarge. Now, Sarge, you don't happen to have that magic napkin holder with you,
I keep one. That's a very effective weapon. I try to keep it on hand all the time.
Okay, Sarge. But, Sarge, but you still are yet, okay, to mention about that precinct they have there with the Chicago Police Department where they were beating suspects half to death, pretty much like what Mark Furman did on the LAPD with Crash. You see? But you never gave us an answer on that there, Sarge.
I'll give you an answer right now.
Okay,
that's Burge.
Okay, let the chef speak, then we go on to Sarge.
That's Burge. That's Burge. And Sarge was a cop doing his time. Wasn't you, Sarge?
That's right. I was there. I remember it very well.
Wow.
But you was a cop. You was on the force at that time.
I remember it very well.
How many
I remember
your brothers
it very
you
well.
Witness, how many of your brothers you witnessed getting their ass whooped? Huh, Sarge? How many brothers you participated in?
Okay, all right. One thing at a time. One thing at a time, all right? I mean, you lay three things on the table for me. Can I? One thing at a time.
I don't know you like I know you, Sarge. You're full of shit.
Yeah. Stop it, man. You're making a fool out of yourself. Look, one thing at a time, all right? One thing. All right,
I'm
here's
making a fool out of myself.
You're making
I'm
a fool. You're
a
making
fool,
spurious accusations of which you have no knowledge, just made it up out of thin air. That's a fool. Let me say again what is actionable. You just mentioned an issue that was done to United States citizens that was illegal and unconstitutional. There is and was a case to be made against those officers and the Chicago Police Department because their rights as citizens were violated. Now, it was done. The Chicago Police Department was sued, and the suit was successful.
Sarge, Chicago has certain traditions.
By that logic, if you want to say, okay, we're going to exclamate slavery because we had no constitutional rights and we weren't seen as human beings. We're seen as three-fourths of fucking human beings. When we finally got our fucking rights as human beings in this fucking fucked-up-ass goddamn country, are we not owed reparations for the shit that we, as a people, have been through? Because every single black person in the United States has been victim of redlining, Jim Crow, on some scale or another.
Right.
It's called a class action lawsuit. You might not be able to say individually, like, yes, I was fucking a super victim of this particular one, but you were victim of one point or another. My daddy was, your daddy was, and I
am
today.
That's not the issue, though.
You're
not asking for reparations for that.
There are still laws in place today that there's houses that cannot be sold to niggas from white folks because of the fucking redlining law.
We are still victims of discrimination.
You probably always will be.
That's the world, unfortunately, that we live in, isn't it?
Okay, but Joe, we're concerned about our people.
If they give us, each black American,
dude got his head up
50 racks. Bitch, take
No, you got your head up your ass.
No, you don't know what time or what day it is.
Pretty soon,
one generation. This shit is generational. It's called generational trauma. This shit's passed on. It's like
generational trauma.
Yes. Yes. You know, my grandmother, my great grandmother couldn't buy a fucking house, a basic living, to be fucking comfortable.
Same thing with my family too in Chicago, April.
Our great-grandkids or our grandkids, what a white mother allowed to?
What's that?
Generational trauma is I have to sell my house because I need the money to help fucking do this shit, and the white folks don't have to think about that shit. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? We are old. If you want to X-Men slavery, great. Okay, that's understandable. I get that logic. But from slavery, when we were freed, until motherfucking 1980, bitch, you owe us.
You're looking bad, Joe.
Okay.
We got to call a doctor and have him look at you, Joe.
Yeah, you know, tell about sharecropping. Well, you could be black and own a bitch.
Black folks in America haven't had real fucking freedom since starting in the 80s. That's when we were allowed to say, fuck the white folks, because it started in the 60s and 70s, but real fucking freedom, didn't start to the 80s. I am 40 fucking years old. That's my generation, dog. My generation.
Yeah, April, you're telling him right. In April, I remember the day that you were born, and your daddy was so happy, you know, that you came here. Okay, let me say this here. Okay, and then let the other caller come on in. And then, two ladies and gentlemen, I think we're approaching overtime. Please do not hang up. This is one of our best shows going on. And the firstborn of Mad Dr. D speaks, you know what I'm saying? And April, you are going all upside the domes, you know.
What's your name? What's your call from?
I want to say what's up, first of all, to Shabaka, and I want to say what's up to Brother Che. You all are tremendous supporters of Outlaw Radio. What's happening, man? Look, I want to shout everybody on the panel out, and I want you all to understand that this is just another example of the power of this new black media We are pioneering information age that has not happened. So let's appreciate that. And I want to say Shabaka has become somewhat of an icon on our show for dropping his line. And so we always love to hear that. But
the dump as in human shit. And we want to make that perfectly clear.
There we go. But I want to say this. The brother and the sister made very good points. And I'm speaking of Sarge and the sister as well. And I hear his argument, and I feel like it's devil's advocate, and this is what they're going to try to play when we do go into the court of law to pursue reparations.
Right.
But I want to, first of all, I want to say, let's talk about the totality of what reparations represents, because people want to say it's just about slavery, and it's not. And so my sister made a great point in that after the Civil War was over, right, and we talk about Reconstruction. And at this point, we, according to their paperwork and their president, Mr. Lincoln, who was a racist in his own right, but that's a different show.
Absolutely.
We were supposed to have had rights, right? So listen, what did they do? They came up with the Black Codes. They came up with Jim Crowism. And that was 1865. So if you take from there until what, 1964, when they signed another Civil Rights Act, is that 100 years? I mean, I don't know. I'm not that good at math. So just in that regard, we were citizens from that point, and we did deserve legal rights, and we were denied those rights and privileges. So I want to say there is a legal argument for it, and this is why you see the emergence of the Republicans going against CRT and stuff like this, in which we tell the truth about the legality of racism in America, the legality of discrimination. Also want to say we give money to Ukraine, we give money to the Middle East, we give money to all kinds of places, and they're not citizens either, so they technically have no rights. But it's so when we look at the economy that we have in America, part of what established it was the free labor that the South had. And so their economy became very powerful until the North came with the Industrial Revolution, and then we fled the South and went north through the Great Migration, seeking better rights and better privileges, and we still got subjugated to systematic racism. Once again, we were slaves at that point, still denied housing, still denied fair education. Now, the ultimate impact of this is if you look at median incomes right now, economically, we're still behind the eight ball, okay?
Yeah,
and I know here in Milwaukee, the median income for the Black household is $29,500, and the white income median income is $60,000+. That right there is economic racism. So there's a lot of legal arguments for reparations to be said as well. And I think that's where we need to go. We need to stop saying it's just about slavery. Because if they add slavery, they'll add us that much more money. They'll owe us that much more money. But realistically, let's start from the time when they told us. They told us we were free. But we really weren't. And like my sister said, when we start talking about redlining and we start talking about, you look at the public school system, I want to say this. The Civil Rights Act passed, that I just referenced, was passed in 1964. Brown versus the Board of Education was passed in 1955. Here in Milwaukee, our schools weren't desegregated until 1978. And that was an act by a federal judge who stepped in and said, this is ridiculous. Look at the improprieties here. And today is a reflection of that because look at our literacy levels. Look at our staff. We own barbershops and smoke shops and candy stores. We don't have architecture firms. We don't have engineering firms. So the new money is going to come from rebuilding the American infrastructure, and we're still being denied that. We have $1 billion worth of work going on downtown because this is bringing in gentrification. How many minority contractors get those jobs? None. That in itself is a perfect example of why it's not if we get reparations, it's when and how will they be structured. Now, if you want to give the indigenous Americans gambling, then give us leeway into the cannabis industry. Let us get in on this legalized marijuana, this recreational marijuana, which is proven to generate billions of dollars in every income, in every economy, in every city. That's all. I want to be on my soapbox. I'm having a good time listening to y'all. It's love for everybody on the panel, man.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Bonner. I appreciate your commentary.
Okay, Mr.
Even though I don't agree with all of it, but it was reason.
But look, okay. Let me say, let me respond to that someone. First of all, the major, even though I thought the gentleman made some pretty good points, the one thing I'm going to have to take an exception to is getting involved with distributing more intoxicants to black people. You want to wind up with more Kamala Harris's and the presidency and the vice presidency, please. This is why I bifurcated my argument into two separate tracks. I said reparations for slavery is a non-starter. It ain't coming from the taxpayers. But I did say there is a possibility for reparations for individuals who are discriminated against in violation of the 14th Amendment and the subsequent Civil Rights Acts passed afterwards. That has a possibility, even though it ain't likely. Here's what I think should be done. You can't have a, look, under our system of law, you can't have a group, whatever, unless you got some formal agreement like the Indians had in the form of a treaty. They had treaties. I had to keep emphasizing that. They had treaties ratified by the United States Senate as foreign nations. They didn't get their United States citizenship if they were subject to tribal jurisdiction until 1924. Even though they were born on the continent, they were not even American citizens until 1924.
Okay, hold on,
they were
Sarge.
Foreign
hold
nations.
On, Sarge.
All right.
Okay,
let me finish.
Sarge.
I'm on with you.
Okay. Go ahead, Sergeant. I got some comment here, and also, too,
I
do
the
Alaskan.
You know me, I get to the point.
Okay, I am going to get to the point, Sarge. Okay.
No, sir, I get to the point. I won't be long.
Okay, Sarge. Now, I did travel across the Little Bighorn, okay, in southern Montana, 60 miles, west of Billings, Montana, I think. Okay, Sarge, so therefore I stopped at a rest stop, man, to get me some coffee. I had on a kufi and I had on a black jacket, and I got into this beautiful conversation with this woman who was a descendant of the Sioux. Okay. I was four nations is because Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull, they were going back and forth with each other over bullshit, okay? So Crazy Horse goes to Sitting Bull, and he smokes a peace pipe, so they loaded up there with the cannabis that Brother Kev was saying up out of Milwaukee. And Sitting Bull and Crazy says, you know what, man, we got a common enemy is because we got wind, you know, there's coming out this way, George Armstrong Custard. Okay. I visited the Little Bighorn. The Native American woman says to me, why in God's name did your people help the white man against her people? I explained to her that the slave only knew what the master taught him. Repeat, the slave only knew what the master taught him. The heavyweight champion of the world, Sarge, in the 1960s had stated, is that ain't no Viet Cong ever called me a nigga. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no Viet Cong ever lynched our men and raped our women and what have you. The white man's my enemy. And I had to explain to the Native American woman, I says, ma'am, the slave only knew what master taught him. Okay. So she had stated, and we conversated for about a good 2 or 3 hours. She says, the next time you're through this part, you're more than welcome to come through. Because, see, another thing that I wanted to do at the Little Bighorn, Sarge, it was closed because it was the fourth of their lies. Okay. I had wanted to go up there to piss on Custard's grave. I wanted to shit on it, piss on it, you know, whatever, to defile it. You see what I'm saying? And what it is, though, Joe Gibson, and also, too, to the Alaskan. Okay. Now, the Alaskan here says, and you're more than welcome to call into Alaskan. If you're in our studio, just press 1, and we'll be happy to have to hear from you. Okay. The Alaskan says you all went back to the plantation of your original owner set up for you, and you did it to yourself. Now, I'm going to tell you something there, Alaskan. Now, that there holds a whole lot of water. But the slave only knew what the master taught him because, you see, they didn't want the slave to read.
God damn phone!
And he only knew what he taught him, and they didn't want the slave to read because if the slave starts reading, he starts thinking. Once he starts thinking, he starts realizing his position. Once he starts realizing his position, you're going to have what you had in Haiti in 1804. Okay, I yield.
Shabaka, I entered
Brother,
the stream.
Brother Shabaka.
I'm having a hard time hearing us on the stream yard. Go ahead, Chef.
This is Kevin. I want to say the Native Americans have no leg to stand on,
in our participation in the Civil War because they themselves worked as trackers. They participated with the Confederacy.
All right, so
as
you're
well.
There, though.
There's my lining calling.
Hold
and they also tracked their own people. Some of them turned tail on their own people. So they can't really question us. They can't question us about what we did during the Civil War. To this day, a lot of them don't like us. As a matter of fact, I believe a quote from one of them was, back then they didn't have respect for us because they said we refused to fight and die for our freedom. And so they've never been our best friends besides coming in and doing what the white man did and finding a fine-ass black woman, having a pretty baby by her. They can't call us. They just happen to.
That part.
They just happen. Here in Wisconsin, we have the Potawatomi tribe who, and all these indigenous tribes in Wisconsin own all of the casinos. They run all of them independently. And they didn't have treaties that were ratified. They were told you got to get in where you get in. So,
Mr. Barnes. Mr. Barnes, hold that thought for one.
This is our land.
I believe that's Dr. Bay 323, last 3583. Is that Dr. Bay?
Dr. Truth Bay, are you in here with us?
Yes, sir.
Dr. Bay, drop knowledge.
People, will we not do the same thing?
And I got black
muscles.
One at a time, y'all. Go ahead, Dr. Truth Bay.
She was saying that she has me on the line with her, that's all.
Oh, hey, Dynamite.
Black Lightning.
Hey, Black Lightning, what's happening? And we on fire tonight, Black Lightning. Joe Gibson is getting beat up tonight, man. You know, we suggesting that his corner throws in the towel. You know what I'm saying? And Sarge, you know, Sarge is Sarge.
You haven't let me out of the corner. What are you talking about? You have me muted the whole night.
All right, Joe, respond.
Nothing to respond to right now. What? The whole joke?
Response for reparations.
Okay, Dr. Bay. Yes, ma'am, Dr. Bay. Go right ahead and come down on him because, you know, we beating him up tonight, Dr. Bay. Please continue, ma'am. And how things
I'm more than holding my own. I ain't worried about getting beat up. Are you kidding?
Go ahead.
Please.
Okay, let Dr. Bay speak, please. Let Dr. Bay speak. You have the floor, Dr. Bay.
Thank you. All right. Well, I wanted to update concerning reparations on those who's actually doing the work in reparations, that on January 27th that we had presented an executive order to the Biden administration. We have our delegates in South Carolina when he visited at the fairgrounds. And the executive order that was drafted, it's an 11-page document. And if you'd like a copy, Shabaka can send you, can send my email, or you could text me and text me your email, I'll send you the actual document. So when this was presented to Joe Biden on January 27th, he declined to sign the anti-black hate crime bill. So this is the update concerning this Crypt Keeper / president / father of a crackhead.
As soon as he disagrees on one issue, that's it. You start calling him names.
Joe.
So, you know?
Joe.
Stop. Hold on, Joe.
Joe Biden may be your pappy, but no.
Yeah.
We just got to
He's not going to stop.
Oh, we don't like Joe Biden one little bit.
To cut the check.
We don't like him one little bit. We despise him.
He's a lesser of two evils. That's all it is.
The hell he is.
Trump
ask the people in Chicago about that.
My God, Sarge, is Trump going to sign it?
Ask the people in Chicago and New York about that. The black people.
Okay.
They don't like him right now.
Please let Dr. Bay speak. Because if y'all keep stepping on Dr. Bay, you see what I'm saying? That's not going to be tolerated here. Now, Dr. Bay is very, very knowledgeable. Dr. Bay does not cuss. She does not swear. And she is to be treated as the queen that she is now. Here, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, you know, anything can happen. It's because we speak against the popular version of what is truth. And, Joe, this garbage that you keep putting in here in my chat room, man, you know, you're more than welcome to write what you feel. But keep in mind, Joe, you keep going to Eurocentric sources, okay? This is why we play Mama Africa, Miriam Makeba at the beginning, is because our traditions were handed down orally. And the white man, when he does not believe that we exist in until he says, poof, you existed, which is ridiculous.
Okay, Dr.
Okay,
Truth
Dr. Bay.
You got the floor, Dr. Truth Bay.
Well, thank you. Brother Shabaka, you're awesome. Well, I appreciate everyone that's on this line. I've been listening since the beginning. And some very interesting opinions, but this is it. We actually are in the groundwork. I do reparations for real, on a national
yes,
level,
ma'am.
Which is why I'm able to give you real-time updates on what's really happening concerning reparations. Now, what the next step is, Black family, if you join us on Black Power Radio next week, February 11th
okay.
and 12th, we're actually going to be covering, we'll be covering the presidential elections and really covering the real deal concerning Donald Trump.
Right.
That's a death wish right there.
Right.
And so we want people to come in with a sound mind, and their research. Now, if you haven't heard, there are scores of black folks that are going to support Donald Trump. I know some people are in the uproar with that, but we have to listen to the masses. We have to look at the records. Now, did you know that Donald Trump actually reversed the 1994 crime bill that was played by Clinton? Yes. That's something that a lot of people didn't know. And mm-hmm. when he was president, we did get stimulus checks. I know some people got multiple.
Yeah.
We didn't get a dime.
I got some.
Zero.
I ain't going to lie. I got me a couple.
Yeah, I got a couple.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So with that being said, we got to call it what it is and stop hating
right.
because what the media wants to do, you indict somebody. Without paperwork, it sounds like a nigga to me. So with that being said,
ouch.
When you
ouch.
Yes.
Ouch, Dr. Bay. Ouch.
Exactly.
You just blazed and dazed and leaned and sheened. Oh, keep those cards and letters coming, folks. We got a call here out of Chicago, Illinois. Area code 773. The last three is 257. Okay, we see you there, Chicago, the place of my birth. Okay, just press 1. We'll be happy to unmute your mic. You know what I'm saying? Hit us in the chat room and go up against this guy, Joe Gibson, because Joe, what can I say, Joe? You're Joe, just like Sarge is Sarge. Okay, we have another unknown caller calling in who has their hand up. And come on, you raggedy-ass computer.
All right.
Hey,
unknown caller, what's your name? Where you calling from?
Yeah, this is Nas. What's going on?
Oh, peace, brother
Nas. What's happening, man? It's always a pleasure, man. It's always a pleasure hearing from you, Nas. As you can see, man, by the show, we got Joseph Gibson in here. We got Sarge. And we also have the daughter of our original producer of Mad Dr. D, his firstborn, April, who came in there and wreaked havoc through here and wrathed just like her daddy did. You know what I'm saying? And Ms. April, you have shut up a whole lot of people here tonight, young lady, and keep it going on. And I hope everybody's all right.
We got another caller. 7-8-4-0-9-1. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Oh, yeah, that's out of Chicago.
Oh, okay, is that Nas?
Okay, we got Nas is unmuted. Okay, Dr. Bay is unmuted. Kevin Barnes is unmuted. Okay, we got Sarge with his hand up again and Joe. Okay, we're going to unmute both these gentlemen right here. Okay, folks, we're winding down off into our last 20 minutes, and we're going to try to go into overtime as long as we can, and please do not hang up. This is one of our best episodes on file. You know what I'm saying? Hey, and keep it going. Rumble, young ladies, rumble. Okay, all righty. Okay, so Joe's mic is open. Okay, Joe is probably in his corner, you know, attending to his cuts is because he did receive some severe blows. Okay, the mics is open. Okay, Dr. Bay, Kevin Barnes, the one and only Sarge, and Joe Gibson as well, too. Okay. And then also, too, we got the Chicago.
Is Brother Chef still here?
Yeah, Nas. Yeah, Nas. We have the daughter of our original producer, the one and only Mad Dr. D, on the line as well, too. Okay, Nas, go ahead and drop knowledge, okay, and feel free to comment.
Can she email
to
me that reparation thing? Can she email that to me?
Okay,
sure.
Send me your email.
Yeah, text you and Shabaka your email, and I'll send you the current report. The next event that we have will be March 2nd. It'll be in California, and that's going to be the update. What's supposed to happen right now, what we're trying to do, is put together a Freedmen's Bureau agency, not another study on reparations, because this is what the Democratic demons want to do. They want to continue to have another H.R. 40 for another 40 years, and we're not trying to have that. So we need no more studies. We have enough records of the harms of slavery, what it has done on every facet. Jim Crow, redlining, you name it, it's there. So what we are requesting, this is why we implore and stress the fact that our black people, we need to be politically inclined. It is not, there's no excuse for us to continue not to be in the know. So this is why in November, by November 2024, no reparations, absolutely no doggone vote. Don't even breathe their breath.
That's right.
Nothing. Period.
That's right.
So if we can't do that,
yes, ma'am.
If we can't do that, we have to have our own governance, self-determination. So we're not just telling you not to get involved in the Roman government. We're creating, under the Republic of New Africa, a brand new foundation. Because we all know about RNA. We know what Obadeli and Queen Mother Moore, the legacy that they started. But again, we the people have to be on top of this and really teach our young people how politics is working. So what we're doing, I'm just going to give a little advice on what we encourage people every week on Black Power Radio. If you have not attended your local city council, you must do that. If you want to make a change, if you're real about black empowerment, and you have never attended your local city council, you have no room to speak. A lot of people, they want the microphone, they want people to hear them. But again, we have to strategize, we have to organize, and we have to execute simplicity. That means knowing how your local city is ran, then you can be a national anything.
That's
black
right.
Power,
black
that's
power. Black power.
Always.
Black Power Radio is on Sundays and Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time at 515-605-9889. And again, that's 515-605-9889 for Black Power Radio Sundays and Mondays, 8 p.m.
Monday evenings. And, you know, Dynamite, the city council meeting in Denver, Colorado that I've been attending for the past 8 years is during that time frame. So I've been attending the meeting.
Wow.
I've been on their helmets. Okay. So much on their helmets. So they put a whole decorum up. They put us at the bottom of the list every time we sign up to speak. But when we do get the opportunity to speak, we let them have it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I like this brother already. Who's this brother here that's
Brother Che Nkrumah, Dr. Bay. You know, he's our co-executive producer.
I know Brother Che.
Yeah,
that's Brother Che. That's a real one. How you doing, Brother Che? Black power to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Black power.
Yes, ma'am.
Lady Che is here and has been attending the city council meetings with me consistently for the past 3 years.
Man, I be yelling at him. Don't forget about me. I'm
in the house.
And you're running for office again, aren't you, sir?
In 2027, it would be for mayor. My plan was I was going to be Cornel West VP, but Cornel West refused to get on COVID, so I don't even think I want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the next mayoral election would be 2027.
What city again are you in? What city?
Denver.
What's it? Denver, right. Denver mayor, right on. Okay, well, I can't wait to see you as the Denver mayor.
And let me say, she ran for city council at large in Aurora, which is right next door to Denver.
But me too.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And Shay, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged by Cornell. Cornell is a great scholar. He's a good man. But, of course, when it comes to nationalism or anything, when you're talking about just black folks, Cornell's going to walk the other way every time. That's just who he is. He's always going to try to love everybody to death. Good luck with that, Cornell. But to the people that were talking about reparations earlier, just to add on for the listeners who aren't aware, that book, From Here to Equality by Sandy Darity, they just dropped the second edition for that. That's a really good starter for people who have never been involved in it or never read about reparations. That's a really good place to start out your journey and learning about it. You learn about from, you know, this has been going on since Cali House up until now, in Cobra and all these other groups who pushed for it. So I would recommend people check that book out. Now, we got to be careful with information. So Trump did not reverse the crime bill from 94. What Trump did was he signed on to Cory Booker's legislation called the First Step Program.
Somebody got an echo.
I don't know who's washing dishes. But, what Trump did was he signed on to the First Step Program, which was written by Cory Booker and one Republican in the Senate whose name I can't think of right now. But the First Step Program only addressed federal prisoners. The majority of our people, the majority of prisoners are in state and local facilities. So, that's another, you know, Trump hustle that he got out there. And then when it came to stimulus had nothing to do with Trump. Stimulus was the whole world was dealing with a pandemic, and any president that was in office would have had to sign the stimulus program because guess what was going on? The economy was stalled. Nothing was moving. They had to put money in people's hands to keep the economy going. Honestly, think about airlines were grounded. Hotels had zero occupancy. People were not on the road driving. So they weren't buying gas. Exactly. This is the point where we were damn near, people were washing up, wiping off their groceries before they brought them in the house. That's how far we were about learning about the virus at that time.
At the grocery store.
Raggedy Donald Trump, con man that he is, he decided he was going to put his name on the stimulus check to infer. Exactly. See, now you see the hustle. I ain't got to say no more.
Is that Brother Nas?
That is Brother Nas, you know, and what have you. And also, too, ladies and gentlemen, we're down to our last 12 minutes.
Hey, shout out to Brother Chef. I heard him on your show earlier. Always good to hear Brother Chef, man. That's a good dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely. Okay, folks, so we're down to our last 11 minutes. Please do not hang up, okay? And the reason why we're saying that is because we want this show, you know, to be completed. This is going down in archives. It's one of our best shows. And as you know, Dr. Bay and as Sheikh Imam Akbar knows, you know, is that they censor us. It's because they can't stand his heat. You know what I mean? And poor Joe Gibson. So I hope his corner man is administering the end swell. I hope he's, you know, putting a towel up there to him. You know what I'm saying? He got lumped up pretty bad here. And then solution. Oh, yeah. Yeah, solution. When you disrespected the professor, man, a week ago, man, we had to push the eject button on you because you were very, very disrespectful. And then solution, you talking about you got all this money, solution. Actually, solution, I'm of the opinion that you're flat-ass broke out there hustling and pimping and pandering. Okay, but however, your solution.
Of the year awards. On Black Power Radio, and when they come up, your name is number one up there from Chicago's Black Experience from the doll. I nominate you for Queen of the Year. Just so you know.
Well, Solution told me is that he was a Native American, and what had happened was is that when we had the professor on y'all, Solution started screaming and hollering and yelling at the professor, so we pushed the eject button on Solution. Hell, I've been kicked off of so many platforms and called everything but a child of God and what have you, and Joe Gibson and Tiaki and all of them, Joe Gibson, and also to Joe Gibson, I do have your email down here for Dr. Bay. Dr. Bay, I will be communicating it with you. And the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, in regard to April right here, okay, is because April is Mad Dr. D's firstborn, and without Mad Dr. D, this platform will not be possible, okay? Sister April has also had recently, ladies and gentlemen, have came back from Azania, okay, commonly referred to as South Africa. Now, for any individuals who's telling me that Elon Musk is an African, you may kiss my ass, is because Elon Musk is a boar. He's Dutch. He's not no African. You see what I'm saying? Elon Musk actually is a threat to the whole human existence on planet Earth because of them overpriced, raggedy-ass cars that he's putting up there for you to go sit up there and you have to go charge it up. There was a whole lot of our people that bought them cars, Mr. Musk, you know, and they didn't charge up there in Chicago. And I kind of like feeling indifference to that, Mr. Musk, is because a lot of people, you know, they couldn't charge their cars. Okay, then we had somebody else that dropped right here. Yeah, probably a hater from an unknown number.
Shout out to the Outlaws. We appreciate you calling
most
in.
Oh, definitely.
Shout
out there to Dr. Bay. Definitely shout out there to Sheik and my Mac Bar. And then, of course, the one and only Black Lightning. You know what I'm saying?
Black Power.
Okay. Always Black Power, always, okay. And then also too, folks, like I said, this is one of our best shows right here. And what it is here at Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, ladies and gentlemen, we need funding. You know, we're taking on water. So please get with Brother Che to make some donations to keep this platform up, and we'll be more than happy to announce that whatever that you're doing for the community, for the common good of our people, is because we got to deal with race first. Also, too, to prove Brother Che's point, that he showed on our StreamYard. For Frontline Black News is in regard to Ilhan Omar.
Yeah.
You brothers and sisters over there on the continent, you got to get with us. It's because they hate you just like they hate us here in the U.S., okay? And then to Hyde and Biden, go change your diapers, man, because I'm tired of looking at you shitting on yourself. You know what I'm saying? And then also too, Madam Vice President Kamala Harris, ma'am, you come from the tainted past. And Madam Vice President, you know, we're not going to put your business out there in the street about you and Willie Brown and stuff like that. Yeah. But Madam Vice President, you don't represent us and what have you, Madam Vice President. I did see your interview with Laura Coates on Talk Team News, Nazi Network. Okay. And then Joseph Gibson.
That
Shabaka, let me get on Elon before you get off that name.
Okay, that's right.
Let me get on Elon before you get off. Just so folks know, as Shabaka said, he's a boer from South Africa. But remember, his father owned the emerald mine over there during apartheid and colonization over there. So that tells you everything you need to know about him inheriting everything. He is not an engineer. All this talk about him being this high-tech savant, he bought those companies with his father's money and also your tax money. Since 2003, Elon Musk has received $15 billion from the U.S. government in grants and tax reductions based on the idea of not using carbon with his company called Tesla. So this clown, Elon Musk, apartheid Clyde, what I like to call him.
Yeah.
He is not I'm hijacking. I'm on there now.
That is who he actually is. So, yeah, look into Elon when these people lie to you about it.
I want to say with the South African white people, the word Boer is not the slur that we think it is here.
Okay.
I specifically asked the question to white South Africans, to black South Africans. The word Boer is just a word to them. It's not a slur. We say it as it is in America because we think it is, but it's not. That's what they identify as. They identify as
Boer.
Yes, ma'am. It's not a slur.
What about Africana?
You might want it to be, but it's not, unfortunately.
As long as we separate them from indigenous, I'm good with any name. And if you can give me a funny name or a clowny name for them, I'll call them that too.
There's two There's three identifying words for white South Africans. There's white South Africans, there's Afrikaans, and then there's the Boer.
Okay.
That's how they identify.
The Afrikaans
have a whole other language that they have invented for themselves in South Africa, but they are white.
Mm-hmm.
The white South Africans speak English, but they are white. The Boers are the farmers who have infiltrated South Africa and had slaves and all that shit, but they are also white. So if you want to put an umbrella term, they're all white. But they have three different subcategories of who they are.
Okay. Breaking that down.
But at most, they're all colonizers who should be driven into the sea and kicked out of that country.
Yep.
I agree.
Thank you, sister.
Okay. Okay, Sister April. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so if God grants me some more time on this planet, Sister April, Zania is definitely a place that I want to see. Now, let me ask you this, Sister April. Okay, when you were there in Zania, did you feel any type of ancestral connection to the motherland?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you.
My skin.
Thank you.
My spirit. My body has never felt more fulfilled than being on the motherland, like being on that soil in itself. Like I have never been so spiritually fucking happy in my life.
Wow.
That's a beautiful thing.
That was a very, very powerful statement. And then before I check out, folks, because I'm in my twilight years, I would like to see the ancestral land. Now, to Joseph Gibson and to Sarge, Sarge, you know, you're gritty, you're tough, but Sarge, do you have Joe in the corner, man, and you guys are administering the inswell and the ice and the ice packs and stuff like that.
Check that out.
I don't think I had a glove laying on me tonight. I really don't. Hey man, I know how fights get doctored by the referee. I mean, a lot of people believe that Sugar Ray Leonard beat Marvin Hagler. That's on them, man. I mean, I don't know what fight them judges was watching. I don't know what fight you was watching.
Tell you what I'm going to do for you, Sarge. Since I'm here in Las Vegas, Sarge, I'm going to go over here to the Nevada State Athletic Commission, Sarge, and we had our Chicago caller drop off, and thank you so very much for joining us. Okay, so what I'm going to do, Sarge, I'm going to go over here to the Nevada State Athletic Commission and see if they got a history report on it, All right, so you're going to have to give me about a couple of weeks on that. And then also, too, Dr. Bay, after the Super Bowl is played here on Sunday, man, because this city is a mess, there's floods right here, they got drunks, people under the influence and what have you, and I will be attending, the city council meetings here in Las Vegas, Nevada. So I got to make sure I have a safe place to park so they don't come and impound it. You know, they might run the plate on it and say,
Brother Shabaka, be careful. There's more prostitutes and drugs per capita in the world this weekend in Las Vegas.
Sir, man.
I'm getting my ticket.
Of course it is. Got you on that there, Nas. No disrespect to the lady.
Even more than that, the UN, man. Now, you know when you beat the UN, you got a lot of hooking going on.
Brother Nas.
All right, Brother Nas. But one thing I will say.
April.
Okay, and then let me say this right here. Then we're going to start our closing comments is because we want a completed show. Okay, for you dudes out there, for you gentlemen out there who are confused about your sexuality, when you take ketchup and shove it up your rectums and talk about that you are menstruating, you are committing a crime against womanhood, in my opinion, and you are committing a crime against humanity as a whole. But however, you have your human rights and you have your civil rights, but I refuse to call some dog-faced Joe with a 5 o'clock shadow worse than mine talking about he's a woman and I don't give a damn how much nail polish he puts on and makeup and all that. Also, too, the city of San Francisco, okay, you London Bridge, okay, are a disgrace, okay, because here in the city of San Francisco, not here in the city, but over in SF, the women had went out bare-chested a few years ago fundraising for breast cancer research. So they had stated that, you know, you can look at the Jiggly Wigglies, you cannot touch the Jiggly Wigglies, we're trying to save the Jiggly Wigglies, please hit the box. That gives these women tickets for indecent exposure for London Bridge. You will sit up there and let a naked-ass man walk down the street unimpugned? So I kind of wonder about the politics of San Francisco, but as you know, your vice president was the district attorney of San Francisco County, and she did not do shit in the murder of Mario Woods, who was shot 25 times when the San Francisco Police Department went off into a half circle. So it was their intent to kill him. And Mario Woods did not weigh no more than 148 pounds, wringing wet. And I failed to see of how a guy with a gun, handcuffs, extra bullets on him, 6 feet, 2.5, tipping a scale like a heavyweight contender, talking about that he was in fear of his life. Yeah, and I mean, if they would have went up there and whooped his ass, okay, you know what I'm saying? But that would have been more better. He'd been discharging 25 bullets into this young man. Okay, so we are in overtime, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Please don't nobody hang up.
For Sister April.
I'm sorry?
To the closing statement.
Yeah, okay. April, okay. Do you have any closing comments, April? You know, we're going to let you go first.
Closing comments are really short and simple. I appreciate the platform. I appreciate you continuing this in my father's honor. It really touches my heart. I'm sorry that I haven't got on more often. I see you guys pop up online on my Facebook on a regular basis. I enjoy having these debates. I enjoy hearing the other side of other people's opinions and what they think about what we are owed and what we are not owed.
Yes, ma'am.
I think that it could be better structure as far as communicating where everybody's not talking over one another, but it was
yes,
a good
ma'am.
Conversation. And actually, it's one of my things. I actually low key like to argue, so this is a good day for me.
Yeah, you're a lawyer, right?
No, I'm actually a veterinarian technician. I'm just really into. I'm not super versed in Black politics, but I'm into it enough where I know what I'm talking about when I do talk about it, and I do enjoy speaking about it, and I do enjoy hearing other Black folks and even some white folks' opinions on what we're going through as Black Americans. And that's pretty much what I have to say.
Okay, before you go, Kay had a question for you.
I did. I wanted to know what your favorite part of your visit was. And what did you enjoy eating the most?
I'm sorry,
She said, what was your favorite part of your visit to Xenia? And what was your favorite food that you enjoyed the most?
Why is that
there? Okay, my favorite food is called Pop. I don't know if you've heard of fufu, right? Fufu?
Yep.
Fufu.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's similar to fufu, but it's made from corn. It's really bland, but when you mix it with pretty much anything that they fucking eat, it's fucking delicious. That's one of my favorite things. My sister was like, if there's no pop, she's not going to eat it. Yeah, I love their pop.
Can I say something for you, sister?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm a chef, and that ain't just some words. That's real. I mean, studied, worked in different industries. And then I had some friends from South Africa. Pop is similar to grits. Okay.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've seen them go ahead and make pop. When they make the grits or pop, I seen them saute garlic and onion, throw in some curry. I was like, okay, now we're on to something. And then throw in a little
Oh, man, you're making me hungry.
I'm like, okay. Right.
It's so good.
And so to this day, I love to have red snapper and coconut milk and pop.
It's so good. It's so good, Pop was my favorite. My favorite experience was actually when we first got there. We were walking around the town, and they had, I guess it's kind of like little schools where they do the native dancing, but with the Zulu tribe, with the Xhosa tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, the Xhosa.
My favorite experience is the bunch of little kids that were dancing, doing their native dance, and they ran up to me because I gave them some money, and they did a little dance in front of me. And my soul, when I say my soul, almost left my body with joy watching those babies dance. And with, like, Native African dancing, I cannot tell you how that makes your soul so fucking happy. For me,
yes, ma'am.
That was, like, one of my favorite fucking experiences, watching those babies dance.
Yes, ma'am.
And hearing those drums and hearing their feet hit that fucking ground. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And then, too, correct me if I'm wrong, too, April. Damn. Okay, yeah. One second, okay? And correct me if I'm wrong, April, because I did communicate with you, and I was asking you if you was going over into Natal, which was the land, of the Zulu Empire, which was the home base. And you said you didn't make it over there, and I did, see some of your videos, particularly of the one, where they were dancing, where I guess I would imagine you was in front of the hotel and what have you. And I dug hearing the beats over there, and this is why that we always play African Sunset by Mirror and Makeba, who was a little bit before your time, April, okay? Because remember, April, I remember the day that you was born, but Mirror and Makeba, who was Xhosa, Zulu, and Sotho, I believe, this is why we play the African Sunset when it comes on, because when the sunset is setting on the continent of Africa, the sun is rising here on the continent of North America. And then also, too, I see Sister Akshita did not get in with us tonight, but she always has an open invitation. And April, you are like Sister Akshita, you know what I'm saying? She's heavy, you know what I'm saying? She's real heavy. Okay, so we're going to continue with the closing comments, okay? And I'm going to make my closing comment now. And then Brother Nas going to take us
here?
Back. You see Brother Nas here, Steve
Nicky.
What's up,
brother? Let us reminisce just for a few seconds. How you doing, brother?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. You know how I go.
Your number's still the same?
Good to see you out here, brother.
Yeah,
I had to change
phones. I've been going here and also living in Colombia, man, back and forth to the States, man. So I kind of got out of doing a lot of things.
Chef Rob, from the 907 number?
Say it again?
Are you calling from the 907 number?
I don't know. I'm calling from Skype, so I'm not sure.
I'm
907.
Okay,
907.
Well, Chef, good brother, man, and good to be with you again, and glad you want to be dropping dollars, man,
I love the information you bring, Nas. You go ahead and help me go ahead and sit around and shut my mouth.
All right.
Yeah. Nas is heavy.
Each one teach one. And I'm perhaps one of the most. And that's the Alaskan right there. Okay. And ladies and gentlemen, we are in our eighth year. You know what I'm saying? And and I'm not the most sharpest tool in the shed, but I learned quite a bit here doing these podcasts, even with the hate mail, insults, you know, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? We all knew the job was dangerous when we took it. And Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced was inspired by the 50th anniversary of the Black Panther Party in Oakland, California, and may Dr. Huey T. Newton rest in power. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, we are in February, and I got a trivia question for you. What is two of the greatest icons that were both born in the year 1942, and they were born exactly 30 days apart? Can anybody answer that question?
And Elvis Presley.
Hell.
Whoa.
Everybody talking about that pedophile.
Right. That's the
culture. What's the
spectacle? No, the answer to the question.
That's a hard year.
Okay, now, the answer to the question, right. There you go, Brother Che. Muhammad Ali and Huey Percy Newton. They were born exactly 30 days apart from each other in the same year. You see what I mean? And then keep in mind that both of these men were, what do they call that? They're controversial.
Revolutionary.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Revolutionary.
Yes, sir. And keep in mind, you know what I'm saying? Is that we will not tolerate no disrespect of either one of these men on these this platform right here. It's because Ali had a lot of controversy in his life, and so did Dr. Newton. But that does not take away from the contributions they made to our history. Also, too, Dr. King. Yeah, Dr. King. He had a whole lot of controversy, but that still does not take away from his contribution to our history. And then not to mention the fact that Dr. King did realize his mistake shortly before his assassination in Memphis, Tennessee, April 4th, 1968, is when he had stated that he led our people into a burning house with integration. I yield. Take us out, Brother Che, with the closing comments. I'm just going to sit back here and listen because I got a lot of notes.
Saving Joe Gibson.
Yes.
We can't hear
Elon
you, Joe.
Musk, you pay reparations.
What?
I said Elon Musk, you pay reparations.
Who? Elon?
Yeah.
Hey, you too.
Yes.
Okay, Joe, you're echoing. You sound like you're far away from your phone, Joe. Please repeat that. Say that again now.
I said Elon Musk should pay reparations.
To who?
Oh, yeah, he can.
Yeah,
he can.
No.
You're
water
not
water
getting
down.
Off that easy,
don't
Joe.
Don't
tell you owe reparations.
Reparations are paid by government, not private citizens who don't have the capital to make the amount. Nope.
I want to check from Joe Gibson.
Right.
But Joe Gibson is running for public office. But Joe Gibson's running for public office.
Hear my black words. I'm trying not to vote for you. Never. Never.
You said you were voting for me.
You start a private printing press in your bedroom. And you get away with it, and you print up the notes, then we'll take them. But if you print up those notes and the U.S. government comes for you, we can't help you.
Well, he's pressing for the reparations and the anti-black hate crime bill.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I got to read it.
All right.
He didn't email it to me, right?
Yeah,
that's
got
what
your
they
email.
Correct. I'll send
you
the updated
email,
information
Joe.
Concerning that.
And Dr. Bay, I will be in touch with you later on in a couple hours, ma'am, you know, with Joe Gibson's email address, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay,
okay.
Joe.
Sounds good.
Always. Black power, always. Black power, always. Now, Sarge, here's one thing that I got to say with you, Sarge, okay? Because like I say, Sarge, you and I, Fumble in the Jungle, The Thriller in Manila, man, it's all kind of good confrontation and controversy with the one and only Sarge. Now, keep in mind, people, Sarge knows how to work a damn napkin holder.
My closing statement is I was originally going to comment on the nature of the refereeing tonight. By the side, I'm going to forego that for another day. What I'd like to say is with regard to the issue of reparation, you better, as far as I'm concerned, and I think it's really the best way.
First of
better
all,
off appealing, appealing. Yeah, look, you're better off appealing to the guilty instincts of dummy-ass white liberals and others who will give you money in a heartbeat. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the TV show Special Victims Unit.
Oh, yeah, I'm very familiar with Special Victims.
All right, have you seen the plot of their most recent show? Now, they hit the intersectional sweepstakes in this show. They got a lesbian, a white lesbian woman married to another woman. I put married in quotes. She married another woman. This woman's wife is the victim of a black rapist, and she decides that she doesn't want the black rapist prosecuted. Because of the history of black people in the United States and the fact that white women occasionally have come up and gotten black men in trouble by accusing them of sexual crimes they didn't commit. So she decides that I can't get finished with my comment ever.
That's just the way it is, I guess.
So anyway, this here woman decides that her married partner doesn't need justice, so she can make up in her little small way with the racial sins of the past. Now, I would submit to you that if you work on dummies like that, it ain't no telling how much money you might raise.
Oh, my God.
It's the legal avenue. They got a lot of mouth at its way because all of them are being miseducated in these higher institutes of learning. It's a bunch of them out there would give you money in a heartbeat.
Sarge, full of shit.
Hey, you spent some time in Germany, didn't you, Germany?
I was in Asia, man.
I thought you was in Germany, man. I was just going to tell you, Fick Dish, man. I knew you know what that meant.
God damn it, Sarge.
Good time in Asia.
All right, we heard your closing statement. All right,
IQ just dropped 5 points after listening to that.
Please, Sarge, no
more closing statements from Sarge, please.
It's kind of ironic that we would get a closing statement from a former police officer based on
I didn't know that from the beginning. If I had known that from the beginning, okay, that makes sense.
Let me get mine out. When people watch SVU and special, you know, and all these, you know, these law shows, you're watching propaganda. You're being presented with a story that the police have problems because the law is in play, is in front of them, and because of the law, they can't solve all these issues, when in actuality, we all know the police are the most funded institution in any city or state you want to name in the United States, and they don't solve, they don't solve or fix problems. They show up after the problem has already been committed and tell you, yes, yeah, same, somebody stole your stuff, here's your report, and then they walk away. But my main closing point is, let's talk about that sister Tracy Chapman, who has captivated the country once again with her song from the early 90s, Fast Car.
You get a fast
where all
car.
These
right,
people,
yeah, she's going to be performing at
they,
the Super
feel,
Bowl. Yeah, yeah, Nas. Nice. Yeah, she's going
right,
to be performing at the
so,
Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Sister Chapman. Shout out to Sister Chapman. She's been growing them locks since I was a little kid. But
yeah.
Sister Chapman, her song, what it does is it shows that not only is the American dream a nightmare and a false ideal, but she gives
right.
you the average American experience and how not only the solutions don't work, but the people telling you that they actually do work are not only lying to you, but they are committed to keeping things the way that they are. Now, white people
mm-hmm.
take this song as, see, that's a great story and showing that these people that can get out the shelter and they just work at the grocery store. Okay, you meet a couple that works at the grocery store and see if they make enough to make rent. See if they make enough to
it
make a car note
for
or anything
people,
else.
Not, you got to be the, you gotta be the right color for it to work. You got to be the
right
color for it to work.
Yeah.
Shout out to the, again, this is Black Excellence. Shout out to the great Tracy Chapman for exposing the hypocrisy of not only American life, but
right.
the reality of, and this goes beyond color lines, the reality of what capitalism does to America. And I'll end there, sorry, for calling
yes,
me communist, Marxist,
thank
or whatever you're going to do, but that's the reality.
Yes, sir. And then, too, Nas, to prove your point even further, I did some research on old Karl Marx, and do you know that Karl Marx, man, had made the statement, man, saying that black people were too stupid to understand Marxism? Yeah.
Wow.
Not to mention, the idea of surplus value and everything else Karl Marx studied, man, you can go back to Ibn Khaldun in Tunisia, two centuries
Facts.
Before Marx was ever born to get an
Facts.
Idea
right.
about people realizing the contradictions within capitalism. And y'all can go to Kwame Ture for that. Don't listen to me.
Yes.
Listen to Kwame.
R.I.P. Kwame.
Oh, yeah, I saw Kwame Ture speak in 1964. He was commonly referred to as Stokely Carmichael. Yeah, I did see Kwame Ture speak as a kid in 74 in the Bay Area, and I shook hands with Dr. Kwame Ture. And he was also, too, ladies and gentlemen, and also, too, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that Sister Miriam Makeba, who they referred to as Mama Africa, she had two husbands that I know of. One of them was the one and only Mr. Humasa Kayla, who sings the song Busha Bula Bonke, which is the healing song, and she was also married to Kwame Ture.
I would treat everybody.
Oh, my gosh, stop it. Okay.
Rest in peace. Rest in power to another moment. Kwame Ture.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Brother Nas, for coming on. You know,
thank
you're always
sir.
Welcome. So moving right along, we got Alaska. What is your statement? Or Alaskan, the Alaskan.
Well, my statement is an observation. Okay? My statement is that... Dr. Bray has got
Dr. Truth Bay.
The right, huh?
With respect,
Dr. Truth Bay, Alaska.
Dr. Truth.
Is it Dr. Bray or Dr. Bay?
Bay.
It's Dr. Bay, Alaska.
Yeah,
Truth Bay.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah,
one
word.
Okay.
That's
that. Anyway.
Go ahead, Alaska.
You guys need to follow her. She's got it right. Okay?
Okay, Alaska.
She's on the right path. The problem is that she's not over the right target.
Oh my
God.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Okay, come on, Dr. Bay. Work with him, young lady. Work with him.
Let's go. Cheers, Dr. Bay.
Uh-oh. Ding, 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 no. ding, ding.
Explain
yourself.
Hey, listen,
explain yourself.
It's my opinion. that she is not over the right target. Okay? She's on mission. She's doing a mission. She's executing a mission right. She's just not over the right target.
And who would be the right target, Alaska?
Excuse me?
We would be the right target, and then we're going to turn it on to Dr. Bay.
Okay. The target does not... The target that I see that you guys want to take out are the slave owners, the plantation owners. And if you look, and I've made a few loops around on this earth, and I've observed a lot of shit. If you look at your target, and you look, and you take a really hard, close look at who was and are still to this day giving you the biggest problems that you've got, it would be the Democrat Party.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
You're getting an argument from us about that.
Yeah, Alaska, you're no argument on that. Okay, Dr. Bay.
They ain't the one, it's both of them.
Yeah, they're two sides of the same coin. Yes, ma'am. No, she's saying it's two sides of the same coin.
What do you mean by the wrong target?
Yeah, what do you mean by the wrong target?
Yeah. You should be going after the Democrat Party. They are the ones that have ruled you.
Both of them ain't no good.
Right.
Excuse me?
The Republicans or the Reptilians and the Democrats mean us no good. Neither one of them has our best interest in mind. Neither one of them.
Amen.
Yes. That's correct.
Yes.
That's correct. But until we have
both for the Democrats, that's it.
Okay, say we agree about it.
They're both bad.
So then why are
they both
on the Democrat Party? One at a time, folks. One at a time, please. Let the lady speak. Let Dr. Bay speak. Let Dr. Bay speak, gentlemen. Dr. Bay, you have the floor, ma'am.
Okay, so thank you, Mr. Buckley. So if I'm correct, because I asked for an explanation of getting the right target, and he basically said to target the Democrats. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, ma'am, I did.
Okay, but did you hear what we did on January 27th? Is that we approached the Biden administration, which is the head demon of the Democratic Party. You can't get any higher than that.
Right.
Am I correct or correct me if I'm wrong?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I don't know, maybe you have missed that, but I stated we presented an anti-black hate crime bill. That means we weren't talking about it. We drafted a bill and handed to him.
Just
and he said, hell to the
no.
While he pissed off that baby. Okay.
That's right.
He didn't say no. He said,
hell to the no.
That's right. That's what he did before he visited the black church where the nine beloved people were killed. He did that first.
Yeah.
He's trying to regain the black vote. It is so sad. I mean, this man, like, look at him. I kid you not. He is the Crypt Keeper reincarnated. How in the world
did they get
this man in office without propping him up? But this is what I'm saying. Our ancestors, our mammies, our pappies, they got to stop saying voting blue no matter who because they're killing us with that.
Yep.
So that's why I want us to open our eyes. And then if we can get our own governance, that'll be wonderful. But our own governance is effing up all over the place. So we got to go with what is intelligent and what makes more sense.
Ma'am.
So that's why I say, my people, do not get the microphone if you're not politically in tune. Because you will get slaughtered, and we don't want to continue to be slaughtered in a burning house. So I'm just saying that. So the next step right now, black family, is to form a Freedoms Bureau. That means get the
conscious black people in your area, organize them, because when reparations come down, we got to have a way to distribute it. Okay, and that's what we're working on at this moment. So if you want to hear some more, join us on Black Power Radio, 515-605-9889, every Sunday and Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and you'll get an update.
If I may continue to paint the target.
Go ahead, Alaskan.
So
okay.
Alaskan.
If I may continue,
please wrap it up.
If I may continue to paint the target, Chewbacca, you said earlier today, or on the show, that the slave masters wouldn't teach you guys how to read.
Correct.
Well, exactly, because once the slave starts reading, he starts thinking, he starts realizing his position, he starts rebelling. Yes, sir, I did make that statement.
All right, now let me paint a little more of the target. Look at the schools in your areas, in the cities. You're not getting the education. And who is in control of the schools? Who is
the
in control of the city government?
The Democrats.
Which party?
The Democrats.
I just told you, my man, the Democrats. The party that the dude, man, who's a member of, that keeps shitting on himself and he needs to start wearing diapers, the dude who keeps falling up the stairs. Now, tell me something, man. How the hell do you fall up the stairs?
I've been around.
Ain't supporting no damn Joe Biden, man. He ain't supporting the dumbass inhuman shit. Both of them is the same size of the same coin, sir.
I remember when the Civil Rights Bill was passed. It was passed by Republican vote. Lyndon Johnson, a Democrat, was the president.
Right.
And he signed it gleefully saying, and his words were, when he signed it, "This will get the niggers to vote for us for the next 200 years.
No. Well, hold on, people. No, he's right about. Now, keep this here, Alaskan. The only reason why we're giving you a pass on that NGR term, man, because normally we eject people on that, but what you spoke right there, sir, and by the way, I'm not nobody's nigger, and neither is nobody on the staff here as well, but you are absolutely correct that Lyndon Johnson did say that, is that if you can get the poorest white man to think he's better than the richest black man, he could pick his pocket for the next 25 elections, and yes, he did prove that. So that is a fact, Alaska.
Chewbacca.
Yeah.
It was not. Yeah. I did not say that as an insult or derogatory statement. All I did was quote a man. Okay. All you did, Alaskan, is what?
No, Alaskan, you made an adequate quote. No, that there was an adequate quote that you did make of old LBJ. You know what I'm saying? That you did do. And also, too, ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind that LBJ and his wife, Lady Bird Johnson, they own the controlling stock of Bell helicopters, the ones that threw those missions in Vietnam. And Sarge, you know better about that than me. Yeah, it's not large. Didn't they own Bell helicopters?
Just remember, Chewbacca, I did not say that. I did not say that in disrespect. All I did was do an exact.
Okay, noted.
Are you getting the
noted. I got you, Alaska. I got some background noise going on. Okay, yeah. Can we mute out the background noise, please? It's because, now we got the one and only Sarge here. Sarge, your mic is unmuted, man. I know, Sarge, we're getting ready to talk, so come on with your closing comments, Sarge.
Before you go to Sarge, I guess I just want to say that.
And then we're going to Joe Gibson and give him
the quote. I want to say about that quote that he said invert, you know what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes I don't know if it's subconsciously or consciously, people may take the opportunity to use the word that they know they wouldn't be appropriately using to go ahead and use it in a context that would make it appropriate, but it's still inappropriate. For
it's
next time, you can keep that in mind, because that would be like if I was to say, let me think of a good one. I can't even think of a good one right now. But, yes, I can. Elijah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "The white man is not a devil; he's the devil." You know. So now mm-hmm. if I were to say that that quote, instead of saying the white man, like he said, maybe you could quote someone else who paraphrased it and said it a different way and used not such a good word. Like instead of saying Caucasian, he might have said the cracker's the devil, you know. But so what I'm saying is sometimes you got to keep in mind where you're at and the company you're in and keep it professional, keep it cool, and, because for one, the word nigger is negas, meaning kings. Kings in Africa. But it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying for future reference, and I figure I might as well throw this in, though, is kings in Africa is where, is where it really come from.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I say, there are no niggas on this line, but there are African-Americans, there are American-Africans, the spirit of Huey P. Newton,
right.
Bobby Seale, Eldridge Cleaver,
right.
and like Fred Hampton said, you can kill a revolutionary, but you can't kill a revolution.
That's right.
You know?
If I may, I'm going to give you a little background on myself. Okay.
Listen.
When I was growing up and I was young, that was the word, okay? That was the word, okay? And I have learned over time not to use that word, not to even think that word, okay?
Right.
So give me a break. I meant no disrespect when I quoted the exact quote of another man.
And the way I said it was respectful. The way I said it to you was respectful. But to think about how even if I'm quoting another man, I might not quote the exact word that he said. I might say he said the N word. You know what I mean, or something like that. Because
I know.
It depends on what the man said too. And it's okay. And don't take it personal. I don't want to hear your life story. We're just doing closing comments right now.
Listen.
I'm sure if you want to walk into your job, let me ask you a question. Let me put it like this, sir. Since you're trying to dignify that bullshit, let me put it like this, straight up, 100%. If you were on your job, would you say that? Would you quote that bullshit on your motherfucking job? Excuse my language now. How about that? Excuse me, real as shit. If you were on your goddamn job, would you fucking quote that bullshit that you just quoted on here? Yes or no?
The answer is no. If you were in public around black folks, would you quote that shit? No. The answer is no. So what I'm saying is don't take the opportunity to go ahead and throw that shit out there now just because you're on here. That's all right. Black power.
Now, wait.
Black power.
And you know what else we say? I'll tell you what else we say. We say all power to the black, poor, and the oppressed people of the world. Where's Joe Gibbs?
Unmute me. Unmute me. That's right, man. Fuck you. He can say what the fuck he wants to say, man. You ain't telling him how to speak, man. Who the fuck are you talking to, man?
Let's get ready to rumble.
You ain't nothing, man. You ain't nothing, black kitty cat.
I don't know how I like that in the mix. But we were talking about reparations, and we were talking about anti-black hate crime bill. Now, as far as quoting people's nonsense, sure, he can say what he wants to say, but what he said on his job. And would you say it, the reason I asked you is would you say it on your campaign trail? On your campaign, would you say
it? I would say, if I'm quoting something, I'll say what I want. I don't need permission to say nothing from nobody.
Why are you so hostile, man? You out of here this shit
that people are telling me on your show.
Did I upset you by cussing?
I was keeping it real with the other. I was listening to what he was doing. Okay, and he was being disrespectful, and you guys didn't check that, so that's dead wrong.
Okay, Joe. You saying my words were disrespectful because I cursed?
He did nothing wrong. It was the white man. I know what he was doing. Don't play me, man. Don't try to play me. I know what you were doing. You're trying to back it up like this is the good old boy club. I can back it up, brother. Trust me. All right, you want to go there?
Joe,
are you an idiot or something? I said you're trying to back up what he's saying.
Okay, now let's keep it civil. Now, Joe, you wrote some very, very derogatory comments here in
I didn't make no derogatory comments.
Hold on. And this is no disrespect to the ladies right here, Joe. And this is no disrespect to none of the ladies here. But, Joe, you call this man a pussy black kitty cat, Joe?
That's right, because he says the same thing about me. I'm going to ditch it right back to him. He ain't going to talk shit to me, and I'm not going to back it up. What do you think I'm
some
punk?
Hey, Joe, you're not the only one, man. You asked me to come over. I told you, don't do this. Don't do this. And you agreed to give me your word.
You gave me your word, Chewbacca. We're trying to keep it respectful.
We're trying to keep it respectful, people, but this just goes to show you what I'm saying.
Can he hear me? Dynamite, you heard.
Okay, this here just goes
okay,
to prove our point.
Okay, can he hear me? Because, first of all, when I said back him up on what he was saying, it has nothing to do with pussy bitches and stuff like that. Now, if you talk like that,
okay,
that's
no disrespect to the ladies here.
A candidate of any sort to say. And
I have not said any derogatory words whatsoever.
If you're referring to me as a punk bitch, I'll smack the fucking white off your ass.
You ain't gonna slap shit, punk. Come on, come on. Green, I'm a man. Gold Gym, 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm there every morning. 8 a.m. Gold Gym. I'm there every morning. 8 o'clock in the morning.
I'm there.
You ain't no educated, you're not educated, you sound like people like you, born in penitentiary, man. Come on, give me that shit.
Gentlemen, come to Las Vegas, go to the Nevada State Athletic Commission, get on that promoter's license, get your boxing license right here to a cruise out at
I was talking to you nicely. I'm not even mad at you. Well, personally, I wouldn't do shit to you. I would, I wouldn't smack the shit out of you because
Dynamite, that's like picking on an old man, picking on a kid,
something like that. There's no honor in it. And I was just trying to get you to listen to reason. So you want to talk?
Okay,
he's gone.
Dynamite, Black Lightning, Joe's gone. He's
that
gone, man. He dropped. Okay. And like I said, gentlemen, if y'all gonna go out here and fight, man, go fight for some money, man. This is Sin City, man, the boxing capital of the world. You know what I'm saying? The commission's office is right down there, man.
Calling people out of their name, calling me out of their name.
Joe Gibson says, "Oh bullshit." We can
sideways real quick.
He says we have the fuck he wants, Joe Gibson, old stuff, acting like a weak asshole, and no disrespect to the ladies, and Joe Gibson states, I would pussy black kitty cat. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Okay. No. We have ladies present, gentlemen. Okay, Joe left. He left the conversation, so I guess on his next presentation, he's going to be dragging my name through dirt. My. Okay, but I see Sarge is here.
Well, no,
okay,
it sounded
not
like
the
he ignorant because he didn't even understand what I was trying to say. I was trying to say, though, why take an opportunity to use the N-word if you don't have to? You know?
Hey, look, man, Andrew Jackson was a politician too, and a slave owner. You better be glad you weren't talking to him, or he'd be challenging you to do a duel.
Oh, man,
as long as I can have my street sweeper, man,
I
won't be challenged to a duel.
Hey, Andrew Jackson killed three.
If I walk up and smack the shit out of Andrew Jackson, I'm just going to go to jail.
No, he probably dead. He probably killed you.
He killed two men in duels, man.
He took the gun away from the guy who shot him.
Fuck that dude.
Right.
Okay.
That's what you'd have to do. Kind of reminds me of 1992 in Los Angeles, and I'm so glad I'm away from California. I don't know what to do.
I don't know. I like me some Cali.
You didn't give me
Cali
a kiss.
Cali fucked up with God of benefits.
Okay.
Who was that? You said Andrew Jackson. Andrew Johnson is the one. Andrew Johnson is the one. Sir Vito vetoed everything that Kennedy put
Lincoln
in place.
Did. Yeah, and Andrew Jackson, he was the president in the 1820s. Black Lightning.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Andrew Jackson had a bunch of 14-year-old slaves that he was fucking.
Sally Hemings. Yeah.
Yeah,
Sally Hemings, and then also too, it was Andrew Jackson that signed into law 1820 the Indian Removal Act.
He was taking indigenous people
and marching
John
them
Brown.
West.
John Brown would have done that for me and said.
Okay, now here's one thing about John Brown. Now, John Brown, Black Dynamite, he had advocated that black people use any force necessary or by any means necessary to defend themselves, which include
killing the
oppressor. Yes, they killed John Brown
right
at Harper's Ferry. Yeah.
Wasn't thinking mean at him at all or the other caller. I was just making a point.
And then they want to start calling names and stuff. If you call me out my name like that, I will smack the shit out of you.
And you can be Andrew Jackson and think that shit's funny if you want to, but when I walk up and I got a .45 on my side and a bulletproof vest, he ain't going to do a goddamn thing but get smacked.
Y'all need a podcast.
This is it, April. You know, there's never
Black
a dull
radio.
Moment here. Yeah, this is definitely one that's going down in the archives. Hey, Brother Jay, you need to duplicate this one, man, and sell it for $10 a piece for fundraising efforts. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. So what we're going
to
do here, I think everybody is.
I'm like, that guy's crazy. Some white folks, they be getting drunk or something and coming on your show.
Okay. Well, you know, man, like what happened down there in Montgomery, Dynamite.
It's funny fucking with white people, though. When they get mad, they two color show. They act like they are allies. They got facts on black American fucking experiences. But when you piss them the fuck off, they true colors
always
every time.
And everybody was a witness to that.
Well,
he's
talking
so
like
Joe,
he's some young Hufflepuff or something. He know better. He already know better. Shit.
And the whole conversation was like super fucking respectful, and then he went left. Wasn't nobody being rude. None of that shit.
Yeah.
You went sideways real fucking quick. We know you racist, motherfucker. You racist as fuck.
You know what?
Well, April, you sounded just like your father right there. And Joe Gibson, man, I'm sorry, man, but I think you brought it on yourself, man. But I'll call into your show, man, and then the one and only Sarge. Sarge is Sarge. And Sarge, you are hereby ordered to report for duty at 1100 hours this Friday for grand rising with Shabaka and his stage, Sarge. Once again, Sarge, you are hereby ordered to report for duty at 1100 hours in your time zone for grand rising with Shabaka and the Chain. And
yes.
Dr. Truth Bay, ma'am, thank you so very, very much, ma'am, you know, for your wisdom and your intellect and your articulation.
He took it all wrong tonight. I was not saying what he thought.
And the next time I speak with him, Dynamite, the next time I speak with Joe Gibson, if you will let me get a word in edgewise on his platform, I will convey that there to him. But that's the first time.
He got a little redneck platform.
and Joe got picked off tonight. Whoa, Joe Gibson, I'm scared of you, man.
Goodness,
this looks like I'm gonna have to go get me some more ammo.
He's adamant about that word. He just wants that word to be out there, don't he? Huh?
He wrote that out.
I wrote that out. I was like, you stood
He said that shit with his whole motherfucking chest. That shit felt good for him. And that shit was cathartic.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was.
I don't even know what the story was. All I heard was the N word, and that was it for me.
I didn't hear shit after that.
It was almost like to take an opportunity to throw that out there because you got the opportunity. You know?
White
voice
to get it out, too.
Absolutely.
I'm very careful not to call anybody but the oppressors a different thing.
All right, y'all.
Boy. Joe got heated under the collar, boy. Shit.
Well,
boy, Joe sounded like some of the thugs out of Los Angeles, California.
Start acting like in America, they all of them, and if Joe's listening, they need to stop that nonsense. We're adults. We're grown-ups now, and nobody walking around like it's the Wild Wild West. Andrew Jackson
wow,
shoot you while you're walking. And now that nowadays two men, if they're getting it on, that's consent, that's called consensual I forgot what you call it, but a consensual battle, you know, so a consensual affray. But either way, I wouldn't even take that there. It wouldn't even be worth it. I was trying to get this knucklehead to back reparations and back the anti-black hate crime bill, and
that
then we would back him. As far as his freedom of speech, he can be free to speak whatever he want to say. But try saying that shit in front of the right person and see how it works out for
you. You ain't saying that shit in front of a bunch of niggas. You ain't saying that shit a bunch of black folks. You're not doing it because you get mollywopped.
Yeah, you got that right, April.
Say it in front of the Black Panther Party. Say it in front of us, you know. Repeat that shit in front of us.
I don't like to fight men. But motherfucker, I'll fight you out. Call me a nigga if you want to. If I'm my face, I will sock the fuck out of a white man.
Right.
It sounded just like her father.
Sounded
like the one and only Mad Dr. D.
That phone chair is in full effect.
Yeah. It looks like I'm going to have to start taking my old decrepit ass down there to the pistol range.
It automatically pops somebody in the head.
Well, you see, Dynamite, see, I'm glad you brought up that folding chair, Dynamite, if I may say.
If you say that word nigga with a hard ER come off your lips and you white, I'm not thinking about nothing but popping you in your motherfucking mouth so goddamn hard that you gonna see Jesus.
That's right. And then also too, April. And also too, April, you know, certain people that I know that are in a certain industry, you always follow the left hook followed by the right hand.
I'm saying.
Yeah, I feel like it's like if I'm in a room full of white folks and I say, well, you know, a man once said that the cracker is the devil, and you know, and I know I'm in a room full of white folks, so that's like taking the opportunity to say that word in front of them with no repercussions.
Recourse,
and then
Joe felt like
I got called on, you know, like somebody saying, oh, I can't say what I want to say. Oh, fuck all that. Excuse my language. I don't mean to cuss, but.
Okay.
And
well,
my customer
must
have got him thinking I was going to beat him up. I wasn't going to beat him up. I was trying to get him to understand.
Yeah, first.
Okay, Black Lightning.
I'm going to smack him and go to jail for him. Because that's what he would want. He'd be up and quit pointing at me. Yep, that's the one right there, Your Honor. He'd smack the shit out of me.
Yeah, pretty much.
All that right there.
I didn't even call him a nigga. I just was telling him a story where the N-word was used. He'd probably say the N-word in court, of course. So, no, nobody's concerned with you, Joe. Nobody's threatening you. We didn't challenge you to a duel or none of that. It was a mental chess, and you asked the chessboard. Matter of fact, you one of them punks that knocked the chessboard over and leave the park.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. And then also, too, Joe, and if he's still hearing this podcast, Joe, you know what I'm saying? And if you speak to him before I do, Alaska, tell Joe is that he got a little bit upset. And I did say that Joe could speak, which he did, you know, and Joe did speak, you know what I'm saying? This is one of our...
He left his king exposed. He didn't protect his
king. I thought he was going to come in with the understanding that, yes, you can't say just whatever you can want to say in public. So, obviously, I called on the wrong person. I should have called Sarge.
Okay, and Sarge is still with us, and his mic is all muted. But however here, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot tell you that it will not go off the hook here, Shabaka's Black Experience in hand.
No napkin holders involved, Sarge.
Why you keep on doing Sarge?
Man, fuck Sarge. He's in the corner tonight.
We're not going to say fuck Sarge. At least with Sarge is we try to disagree with Sarge agreeably. Now, people here have commented that I'm biased and stuff like this right here and things of that nature. And after years we've been doing this here, April, you know, you should see the shit that has come through this chat room. You know what I'm saying? And it's damn near comical.
Shabaka.
Yes, sir. Yes. Okay. We're still in the room?
No.
The episode ended. They pulled the plug on us, you guys. Yeah, they're processing the show now. Okay, they just hit us because we was in overtime. So please share it. Please share it. Please share it. And we appreciate Mad Dr. D's firstborn of coming
in
on. And most definitely relating.
Was nobody challenging him or being... I wasn't challenging him or being rude to him. I was just saying don't use the N-word in public when you get the opportunity.
Oh, yes, ma'am. And now keep in mind, folks, that we're no longer on air. We're just ghost talking. So, you know. But it's all good.
I didn't even know you had a comment. Where's the comment? In the Facebook?
What it is, Dynamite, what they do is, and I think the Imam has it too on his platform, is that you got the chat room and you got, you know, you got the studio where the call's coming and then you have the chat room.
Oh, really? I didn't know you had a chat room. Okay.
Old Joe Gibson, he got hot tonight. Whoa, my. Wow, and also, too, and then if I may say here, too, Dr. Bay, I mean, no disrespect, Joe Gibson left a comment here, no disrespect to the ladies, repeat, no disrespect to the ladies, these are Joe Gibson's words, not mine. Yes, I would, pussy black kitty cat.
Oh, my God.
Yes, that's exactly what he said.
We got it right here because Joe Gibson, you know, he sits up there and tells me shit when I called in his platform and got called all kind of crap.
Yeah.
Well, Shabaka, we got your comments in the chat room, Shabaka. Well, guess what, motherfucker, we got yours too. So I guess we have a balance of power. So what I'm gonna do, y'all, you know, and thank you all so very, very much. Thank you, Dr. Truth Bay. Thank you, Alaskan. Okay. Thank you, Chef Rob, okay, and thanks Mad Dr. D's firstborn for calling in. Okay, so we're gone from Sin City, okay, and please spread this episode, and let's see, always, and please spread this episode right here. Is because Dr. Bay, like the rest of us, we're trying to monetize it, ma'am, and, you know, we're kind of like sinking. Our ship is taking on water. So we're putting out an SOS, you know, give a brother Che on that here.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. Stay in there? They stay in there? Is it?
I think Dynamite is that the comments staying here just as long as the show's on. But once you know you sign off the platform, I think the comments are deleted. You know what I'm saying? So,
well,
so the next
what
time,
did that comment say though? Well, I didn't understand because you said.
It's kind of like okay. Here's Joe's last three comments. Okay, Joe Gibson. Oh, stop acting like a weak asshole. Okay, his next comment. Yes, I would pussy black kitty cat. Okay, the Alaskan says, thanks for the show. Okay, Alaskan would appreciate. Yeah, yeah. Okay, and Alaskan, yeah, thank you for joining us. Yeah, so what we're doing now, folks, is that we just ghost-talking. Yeah, because
well,
we're off the air.
No offense was meant to anybody. It was just, I guess, a lesson in decorum on where you're speaking and who you're speaking in front of and what kind of temperatures you're trying to raise. And I was actually being cool until he started being ignorant, and then I started cussing.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, y'all.
Okay. Okay. Black Lightning. I don't have no problem with somebody defending themselves on a spiritual plane.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Dr. Barry, thank you.
I enjoyed the conversation. I'll chime in every now and again because I like to argue.
Okay, April. Okay, thank you so very much. Okay, April, and thank you so very much for coming in and giving us insight, you know, on traveling to the motherland.
Yeah, thank
okay,
you very
thank
much.
You so
nice. No worries.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll chime
okay,
in every now and again. Have a good evening.
You too.
Okay,
April.
All right.
Black power.
Black power.
Always.
Black power.
Always. Always, Dr. Bay, always. Okay, Alaskan, you know, if you're still there with us, man, I'll come on your platform. We can continue this conversation. Just ask Joe to go back to his corner, man, sip his water, man, put the end swell on, you know what I'm saying, put ice up there and what have you. You know what I'm saying is because it was an intense show, but it didn't have to go this way. But at the same token, we all are grown, you know what I'm saying, and whatnot. Oh, okay, so this is Shabaka Sankori, y'all. I'm signing off from Sin City. I'm trying to do some handicapping right here. See if I might make a few dollars off this Super Bowl. Okay, but anyway, I'm out. Okay. All right. Okay.
We'll see y'all Friday.
Uh-huh.